Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Jim Taylor. Authorities remain tight-lipped about the hostage drama still playing out in Clinton campaign headquarters in a small New Hampshire town.
I'm going to confirm the number of hostages that were taken, or how many in there now.
Rochester Police Captain Paul Callahan. SWAT teams do remain outside those offices. WBZ-TV reporter Karen Anderson.
Just before noon today, a man walked into the Clinton campaign office here in Rochester, New Hampshire. Supposedly, he made some sort of demand and had something that looked like an explosive tied to him. We're told that some people were released, but that others he held hostage while he continued to try to make demands of Senator Hillary Clinton. We're told that Senator Clinton has been in contact with New Hampshire State Police as they try to work with a hostage negotiator to try to release these hostages.
Some hostages have been released, no injuries reported. Senator Hillary Clinton not in the area. Amtrak passenger train slamming into the back of a freight train today happened just south of Chicago.
The momentum was enough to lift that Amtrak locomotive up and over and into the back of one of those intermodal cars. So it had a little bit of speed on.
Helicopter reporter Chris Habermel watching as rescue crews went to work. Dozens of injuries in the crash, 9 serious, 5 in critical condition. WINK-TV in Fort Myers says authorities believe the sister and brother of football star Sean Taylor may have bragged to the wrong people about how much wealth he had. Taylor shot and killed by an intruder. This is his father.
We want to think that the people in this world are productive citizens, although we know there's problems. Each of us have issues.
4 suspects currently detained. Others may be involved. Published reports say the Bush administration and major financial institutions close to agreeing on a plan that would temporarily freeze interest rates on certain troubled subprime home loans. Christopher Thornburg, Beaton Economics, says, so what?
This is just the government struggling to find something to do when really there's nothing that can be done.
Welcoming reports of progress in the Treasury-led efforts, Democratic Congressman Barney Frank of Massachusetts, he's the chair of the U.S. House Financial Services Committee. He was either the toughest or the bravest or the craziest man alive, Evel Knievel.
When you do what I do for a living, you have to have a positive mental attitude. And if that positive mental attitude doesn't work when you make that jump, you have to be man enough to handle the circumstances. In my case, I'm man enough.
Daredevil Evel Knievel, dead at the age of 69. Candy is dandy.
There's Jim McGivney, a former DEA agent, says he knows the usually wholesome Hershey, turning out a new icebreaker candy that some Philadelphia cops say looks like packets of heroin and cocaine is an accident. He tells parents to make something positive of the PR disaster, seize the day, and talk to your kids.
Parents could actually sit down and use it as an opportunity to talk to their kids about drugs and about the dangers of drugs and how some things that may look innocuous enough can be dangerous.
That's Karen Regal. This is CBS News.
Happy Honda Day!
May I help you?
Greetings. I had my eye on this nice big Odyssey, and this Civic sure is a looker. Oh, and the Accord, it's all new, isn't it?
Make this a season to remember. Think Honda for the holidays.
Oh, what the heck? I'll take all of them.
You want every Honda in our showroom?
Do you think I can fit them in this large red bag?
All right, is this a joke? Am I on a hidden camera or something?
Attention, there's a reindeer parked outside with its nose light on.
I'll be right back.
Happy Honda Days from your Honda dealer.
Hi, my name's Bill, and I'm totally hooked on mobile banking. You see, with Wachovia and AT&T's newest feature, mobile banking is easy. Too easy. I mean, I'll be putting my phone on vibrate before a movie, and before I know it, I'm transferring funds, checking account balances, or even paying the bills. Seriously, who pays a bill during the previews?
Wachovia has taken mobile banking to a new level. To learn more, go to wachovia.com/mobile banking. Are you with Wachovia?
Wachovia Bank N.A. and Wachovia Bank of Delaware N.A. are members FDIC.
Tit for tat in the Middle East.
Supreme Court has upheld a government decision to reduce fuel supplies to Hamas-ruled Gaza in response to daily Palestinian rocket attacks. Foreign Minister Tzipi Livni.
Palestinians need to understand that business is not as usual.
2/3 of Gaza's 150 gas stations have shut down in what Palestinians describe as collective punishment. Robert Berger, CBS News, Jerusalem.
When the writer's strike began, Jay Leno did not cross.
Well, I crossed the picket line to give donuts, but I'm not crossing the picket line.
Latest casualty of the four-week strike, the non-writing staff members of The Tonight Show with Jay Leno. He is in. John Mellencamp says he got a phone call from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He is in. Still a month to go before official word is expected on Mellencamp and eight others. Jim Taylor, CBS News.
Hey, it's Ty Pennington. This holiday, I'm all about granting wishes. Now, a spare tire is something most people aren't wishing for this time of year. But how about a brand new set of tires from Sears Auto Centers? This week, it's the biggest tire sale of the year, with unbeatable prices on brands like Michelin, Goodyear, and BF Goodrich. In fact, Sears Auto Centers has all kinds of goodies for anyone who has a car, which makes it the perfect vehicle for granting wishes. So get your holiday rolling with a huge tire sale at Sears. And don't just give a gift, grant a wish.
Exclusions and restrictions apply. See store for details. Offer ends 12107.
Hi, my name's Bill, and I'm totally hooked on mobile banking. You see, with Wachovia and AT&T's newest feature, mobile banking is easy. Too easy. I mean, I'll be putting my phone on vibrate before a movie, and before I know it, I'm transferring funds, checking account balances, or even paying the bills. Seriously, who pays a bill during the previews?
Wachovia has taken mobile banking to a new level. To learn more, go to wachovia.com/mobile banking. Are you with Wachovia?
Wachovia Bank N.A. and Wachovia Bank of Delaware N.A. are members FDIC.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. And be part of Peter B.'s America.
1, 2, 3,
my baby don't mess around because she loves me so.
Peter B. Collins Show today, originating live from the Eureka Theater in Eureka, California. Listen to that live crowd that's assembled here at the stately Art Deco Eureka Theater. I am Peter B., and I am delighted to be here. I want to thank everybody who helped make this possible, including Tom Seaborn from KGOE and the folks from Color Impressions, one of our sponsors here in Eureka on the Peter B. Collins Show. This is going to be a wild ride the next 3 hours because riding shotgun with me is the man with this dangerous guitar, Roy Zimmerman. Hey, Roy.
Thank you so much. So glad to be here.
And for those listening on 1480 KGOE, it's not too late to come down and join us here today at the Eureka Theater. And Roy Zimmerman will take this stage after our live broadcast tonight and perform live for you a lot of his great politically infused tunes from Faulty Intelligence.
That's my album.
That's the CD.
Not from the phenomenon known as Faulty Intelligence.
No.
Yeah.
No. Roy, by the way, does not work for Homeland Security. And as far as we know, his computer hasn't been hacked.
Well, you would be in a position to know that, would you?
Well, as far as we know, I qualify.
Okay. All right, good.
On today's program, Robert Perry will join us in just a moment, as usual, to kick off our Friday broadcast. Larry Glass will be with us a little bit later. He is a member of the Eureka City Council. Harmony Groves is here in the audience. She's the mayor of Arcata, one of the cities that took the lead in passing a resolution supporting impeachment of Bush and Cheney. We're going to talk about that. Next hour, David Cobb, the Green Party standard bearer. He was the presidential candidate who ran in 2004, and his heroic gesture was in Ohio, where he signed the document calling for a recount because John Kerry wouldn't do it. And so David Cobb is a real hero in my book. I've talked with him on the phone many times, looking forward to meeting him here in person today. Also, Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com will join us by phone, as usual. I know we have a lot of election protection activists here in Humboldt County, and we appreciate that. Dave Berman from the local Voter Confidence Committee will be joining us to update us on some of the activities here in Humboldt County. Now, we will be taking phone calls, as usual, from our listeners in Eureka, in Sacramento, in Monterey, in Coos Bay, and, of course, in Billings, Montana. And if you want to call in, the toll-free number is the same, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 1-888-573-8372. and 888-5-PETER-B. Don't have easy access to email, but you can always send me a note, peter@peterbcollins.com. And we'll also be taking questions from our live studio audience. So if something you hear discussed prompts you to ask a question or you want to make a comment, just step up to the microphone, and as time permits, I'll identify you, and we'll get your comment or question on the air. Thanks so much to everybody who's here, but we have room in the theater. We haven't even opened up the balcony yet. So if you're listening in the Humboldt County area, come on over to the Eureka Theater on F Street. We're going to be here live until 6 o'clock with the broadcast, and then Roy Zimmerman will take the stage. And Cable Access Channel 12 is gearing up to put us live on the cable access here in Humboldt. So if you want to text message your friends who are stuck at home, you can let them know that they can join in the festivities that way. Robert Perry is a longtime investigative reporter who helped break the Iran-Contra stories in the 1980s, working for AP, for Frontline, and other publications. He's now independent and publishes his work at consortiumnews.com. Bob Perry, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Thank you, Peter. Sounds like fun.
It's real fun. We're here in Eureka at a theater. We got popcorn and hot dogs and the giant sodas. What would you like, Bob?
Well, it sounds all good to me.
Okay. I want to dive into a story you posted just over the last couple of days about the Washington Post coverage of Barack Obama and some of the right-wing smears that are being leveled at him. First up, tell us what the Post article by Perry Bacon Jr. said and why it caused you to write a corrective article.
Well, it was pretty extraordinary. On the front page of the Washington Post, of course, it's the Washington Post is perhaps the most prestigious paper in Washington, and here it is treating with great respect these slurs against Barack Obama. Basically, the Post pretty much just regurgitated what many on the right have been saying, essentially accusing Barack Obama of being a secret Muslim who will turn over the United States to the Muslims, that he would be sworn in on a Quran. I mean, these are things that people can hear maybe on some of the right wing talk radio shows or on the right wing internet sites. But
you mean World Nut Daily?
Right, that sort of thing. But here it was being put on the Washington Post front page and done so almost as if it was a reasonable thing to do. And it did include denials from Barack Obama and some of his supporters, but it didn't actually take on these baseless accusations. It even included the canard from earlier this year that Barack Obama had attended a madrasa in Indonesia,
right,
and was influenced by that. And at the time, back in January or so of last year, that was investigated by CNN and was shown to be a false story, that he had attended a typical school in Indonesia, not some special school teaching him anything in the Islamic faith. So it was kind of it was just the respect that the Post gave to these accusations, and quoted Rush Limbaugh and Michael Savage and others who have been pushing this kind of thing, but not in a critical way, which was quite stunning.
And so in your estimation and based on your research, where are these smears originating, Bob Perry?
Well, they seem to be originating from across the right wing, but it is something that some of the right-wing groups have actually claimed that they're getting this from the Hillary Clinton campaign. but there's also no evidence of that. These are the kinds of stories that should not be dignified by being put, if you're going to write them, you should put them in context. One should point out that there's no evidence to support any of this.
And so what has been the response from the Obama campaign? Because at least in terms of attacks from fellow Democrats, they have talked about a rapid response effort not to allow innuendos that are false to linger and become part of the background.
Well, I'm not sure what the campaign has actually said about this article. I know it did draw a good deal of attention and criticism from people on the Internet who were reacting to it and sending emails to the Washington Post. But one also has to understand that Barack Obama, being one of the first African-Americans to be taken seriously as a presidential candidate, is in a special and a difficult position. The Secret Service is extremely sensitive about dangers to him. And for the Washington Post to essentially give some kind of legitimacy to these kinds of charges in this kind of environment, extremely dangerous.
Here are a couple of quotes from the article. The Muslims have said they plan on destroying the U.S. from the inside out. What better way to start than at the highest level through the President of the United States, one of their own? Then they cite an email from another website that claimed, quote, Obama takes great care to conceal the fact that he is a Muslim, and that, quote, since it is politically expedient to be a Christian when you're seeking political office in the U.S., Obama joined the United Church of Christ to help purge any notion that he is still a Muslim. Now, this does not square with the facts, Bob Perry, in any way, shape, or form.
No, Obama is a member of a large Protestant denomination church in Chicago. It is true that he has had some of his relatives, since his father was an African, that his paternal grandfather was a Muslim. But there is simply no evidence to support any of this. It is simply thrown out there by the right to raise suspicions and to really to rev up some of their supporters who don't really need much revving up, as we saw in the debate the other night. This is a dangerous situation to be throwing gasoline on this fire, and here's the Washington Post essentially aiding and abetting it.
This is just, you know, this is Roy, Robert, and this is just spaghetti test stuff as far as they're throwing it against the wall and they're seeing if it sticks, right? I mean, that's the technique.
And, Bob, did I miss something? Did Murdoch buy the Washington Post recently or the National Enquirer take it over?
Well, the Washington Post has been trending neoconservative for a number of years, and their editorial page, as I'm sure you're aware, was very supportive of the Iraq War and remains so to this day. They publish a lot of neoconservative opinion. They're almost as right-wing as in some cases, as the Washington Times, which is the more official right-wing paper in Washington.
The Mooney paper, right.
So you have in Washington this almost a consensus of viewpoints from the two major papers here. And, of course, it's not like you get a tremendous amount of dissent from other major American newspapers, but the Washington Post has been going in this direction for some time, quite sadly.
Yeah. We're going to take a break and return with Robert Perry. He's live from Washington, D.C. You can read his work at consortiumnews.com. And a new book out that he co-authored with two of his sons is called Neck Deep. I had to look for it here. And you can get more information at neckdeepbook.com. on that valuable new publication. We're going to take a break and return. We're live at the Eureka Theater in Eureka, California, the Peter B. Collins Show.
News commentary in your phone call. Is it happening in America? It'll be right here on 540 AM Radio, KRSA.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Making the invisible visible.
Yeah. Several weeks ago, I saw UFOs over Monterey Bay using night vision equipment. If you want to see UFOs, contact me, Bob Oliver, and listen to the Bob Oliver Show, The Quantum Leap, Saturday mornings at 11 a.m. Recent polls show that 93% of the people do not trust our government. Tune in Saturday at 11 a.m. for answers and discussion. We are not alone. Our history books are not accurate. Call in, add your piece to the puzzle. Night vision goggles, UFOs. That's simple. Think for yourself. The Bob Oliver Show, The Quantum Leap, Saturday, 11 a.m. on Progressive Radio, KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
For my homeless faces, kick to the cracks of city places. Got plenty of space, so what's the basis?
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Juan specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show live from Eureka, California. We've got a live audience here at the Eureka Theater. And yes, there's a little bit of echo in the room because this is a huge Art Deco establishment. Can we have a little applause, please, so people can hear our live audience? Thank you very much. And the theater's filling up. We're glad to have you along with us. We continue our conversation with Robert Perry, the investigative journalist who publishes at consortiumnews.com. And, Bob, I wanted to get your take on the No Expectations photo op peace talks in Annapolis earlier this week.
Well, it does seem to be another case where there's very little substance and mostly theater involved in Bush. Suddenly, after almost 7 years of what we called malign neglect of the Palestine-Israeli peace process, to suddenly show up and stage this kind of event, there wasn't much that came out of it except for promises of additional meetings. There also doesn't seem to be the kind of will to do the really, really tough steps that would be needed if this were anything more than show. There has to be a commitment from both sides, and heavily from Israel at this point, to really do some things like dismantling some of the settlements that Prime Minister Olmert does not seem to have the real will or the military power to accomplish. So, how this is supposed to work out, except as some kind of public relations exercise, it's hard to envision.
Well, and some of the key players like Hamas and Hezbollah were not represented in any way. And I talked earlier this week with Phyllis Bennis from the Institute for Policy Studies, and she made the case that one of the real purposes of this is to drive the bus related to Iran, and to try to build some consensus among parties in the Middle East in support of the Bush-Cheney, all we can do is call it an obscene and bizarre idea that a military assault on Iran is somehow going to bring peace to the Middle East?
Well, I think right, Peter. I think it's this seems to be just going deeper and deeper toward the cliff and over the cliff, and there really doesn't seem to be any plan to extricate the United States from Iraq or from the kinds of military adventures. And I think it's quite clear that the real goal is to maintain them, to keep them going indefinitely. If one watched the Republican debate the other night on CNN, it was pretty clear that very few of those people, except for maybe Ron Paul, would look for a way out. There's almost an idea of declaring victory and having a celebration of success, but that would mean leaving American troops there indefinitely. And I think the situation in Israel, there's no indication that there's much of a commitment there by any of the sides, really, to achieve much of a peace breakthrough.
And the other thing that I see here is that, you know, on Monday, Bush signed a non-binding bilateral agreement with puppet Maliki in Baghdad regarding long-term U.S. commitment to support the Baghdad government. And that means bases and troops and a lot of cash. And it's interesting to see that juxtaposed. It was underreported because the buzz for Annapolis was dominating the media coverage. But you put those two together, and it hardly paints a picture of George W. Bush, the peacemaker.
No, I think it's quite clear that the goal is to just sustain this projection of American power into that region, to use Iraq as much as possible. And in the original concept that the neoconservatives had, which was to have Iraq as this central position base for U.S. military power in the Middle East, So American and perceived American enemies could be attacked or pressured. I think with the claimed success for the surge, the neoconservatives are putting that basically back on the table. It was for a while they were feeling much more defensive because things had gone so badly in Iraq and the American public had turned so thoroughly against the war. But now with these claimed signs of success, the neoconservatives are dusting off their original plan. And they want to move ahead, essentially giving the American people a fait accompli that this is a permanent occupation of Iraq, and the plan to use American forces there to bring Arab states into line with U.S. policy and to an extent with Israeli policy is really the agenda.
Well, and thank you for qualifying the news about the so-called surge, because I'm highly skeptical. Certainly, I celebrate the fact that fewer Americans have died, and we've had declining fatalities and injuries of U.S. troops over the last 90 days. But I am quite dubious that there, really is a permanent movement toward peace in Iraq. And I think that the ethnic cleansing that has already taken place, and also the basically hiatus that has been called by Muqtada al-Sadr, his Mahdi army, I think those are major contributing factors that the U.S. media doesn't identify when they give us these rosy good news packages from Baghdad.
I think that's right, Peter. I think there has been some success with the new techniques of repression. And this is something that that I've always been a bit uncomfortable with, the idea that, well, what if it were, in a sense, a successful operation as defined in the United States succeeding in getting control of Iraq and beating down any opposition and essentially establishing the United States as an imperial power? Is that a good thing, even if the American casualties are lower? And certainly the numbers of American dead have been stunning, and I'm not sure any of us, even the pessimists, thought it would be this bad looking at it from 4 years ago.
Robert Perry, thank you for joining us today here in Eureka. Read all about it at consortiumnews.com. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Peter.
Thank you. More in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show, live from Eureka.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File, sponsored in part by Hahn Office Furniture. Durable, flexible, and looks great for years. Hahn, smart move now, even smarter later. I'm Charles Osgood. In Hamilton, New Zealand, police have raided the home of an 18-year-old who's suspected kingpin of an international cybercrime robot network. CBS News technology consultant Larry Maggot.
The young man allegedly set up a botnet, which is a cluster or network of thousands of computers around the world that are hijacked and infected with malicious software that programs them to attack other computers.
The story after this.
Are you one of the millions of American homeowners who want to cut your high mortgage payments? Right now, Operation Payment Relief from Quicken Loans is helping thousands of homeowners, and there's more help on the way. With a new lower fixed interest rate around 5.99%, APR 6.21%, safe fixed rate mortgages for around 5.99%, no teaser rates, no prepayment penalties, no surprises. Quicken Loans has helped American homeowners for over 22 years. We helped thousands this week alone. Don't wait. Rates can change at any time, so call 800-913-5188 now for your fixed rate around 5.99%. No teaser rates, no prepayment penalties, no surprises. Call Quicken Loans at 800-913-5188. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. Call 800-913-5188 for details. That's 800-913-5188.
The FBI and authorities in other countries have been cracking down on so-called botnets. Could this kid in New Zealand have organized something like this? Larry Maggot.
The Internet makes it possible for criminals to reach across borders, and there are plenty of young people who have the skills to do just that.
Sean Henry is deputy director of the FBI's cyber division.
As commerce moves to the Internet, the thieves move to the Internet.
How do you know if your computer has been hijacked?
You might not see anything. But typically you'll see your computer acting a little slowly or unusually because the bot, your computer as a robot, is actually the resources of that computer are actually being used by somebody else.
Ask Sherry Winkler of Denver.
Your house has been broken into and you didn't even know it.
She found out when the cops came to her door with a warrant for a computer. Somebody in Russia had seized control of it.
You're going on with your day and you're just simply doing what you normally do, and then all of a sudden you find out that somebody has committed a crime in your name.
What can you do?
Only by ensuring that you've got active firewall in place, that you've got your antivirus is up to date, and you're familiar with what's occurring on the computer. Only by taking those types of security measures are you best able to protect yourself.
The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Are you looking for that new dream home at a price that's not a dream? At Pacific Pride Homes, we really do take pride in the small number of custom homes we build every year and the fact that we can offer estate quality homes without the estate price. We are now providing special financing and pricing on two of our beautiful new custom homes located in gated communities in North Monterey County. We invite you to visit us at PacificPrideHomes.com for details and directions.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale from 12-Step Talk Uncensored. Saturdays from 4 to 5 p.m., listen as we deal with life-changing issues that affect all of us. Our fears, passions, anger, addictions, the law of attraction, and how we change ourselves so we can live an extraordinary life. Join me, Sheila Gale, as we share tools for change that work. 12-Step Talk Uncensored, Life 105. Saturdays, 4 to 5, brought to you by Sun Street Centers with education, prevention, and treatment for alcohol and drug addiction.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show live from the beautiful Eureka Theater in downtown Eureka, California. And this place is filling up nicely. I want to thank you for changing your schedules and coming over here to join us here today. I really appreciate it. And the Peter B. Collins Show started in Monterey at KRXA 540 2.5 years ago. And the first station that we added to our network was KGOE here in Eureka. And I want to thank you folks for the support that you've given our show. We're now on in 5 cities, and very soon we're going to announce some more, including a big, big city in California that I've been working on for a while. And we couldn't have done it without you, because you were the early adopters, the early supporters of this program. And you may remember we were on before when I was doing a satellite radio show, and the business side of that fell apart because Howard Stern took all the money at Sirius. But when we came back, Tom Seaborn and Ken Dennis and the folks who run KGOE were kind enough to put our program on. The ratings have shot through the roof, and it's people like you who have made all this possible, and I'm deeply grateful to you. Thank you very much. Over the Thanksgiving break, I took a day to work in my secret studio and office, because the nonprofit bookshelf that I bought was in danger of crashing again. This is the bookshelf where I keep all of my bush bashing books. And so I brought 2 boxes of them today. And at the breaks, Tom Seaborn is drawing names, and we're passing these along to folks here in the Eureka area. Some of them are marked up and bent. And yes, there is an Ann Coulter title if somebody is really interested in self-humiliation, sadism, masochism, that kind of thing. And if you really want the Ann Coulter book, come up to me at a break and let me know, and I'll try to make sure that it gets a really good home. Maybe one with a pet that is still yet to be paper trained. If you're listening on the radio today, feel free to call in, 888-5-PETER-B, that's 888-573-8372. Joining me now is the mayor of Arcata, Harmony Groves.
Hello.
Welcome. Thanks for joining us here today, Mayor Groves. And tell us a little bit about the city of Arcata. And do you have a traditional council form where you are a rotating mayor? Or were you directly elected mayor by the people?
Actually, I've been on the city council for about 3 years, and we do have a rotating system where the council chooses the mayor. But really, the council members have equal, influence at the council, and the mayoral position is really ceremonial and running the meetings.
Okay. Well, I want to commend you and your colleagues, because you were one of the first municipalities in America to adopt a resolution urging the Congress of the United States to impeach Cheney and Bush.
That's right.
And we appreciate that. And this may have become a bit of a cliche, but wherever I am, whatever table I am seated at, impeachment is on the table.
That's right.
And I believe that impeachment should always be on the table, whether it's a Democrat or a Republican in the White House.
I agree.
This is a constitutional process which is intended to give us a safety valve in the event that we make a mistake and elect the wrong people. And this country has made 2 tragic, serious errors, compounded by some manipulation of elections and voting machines, that have left us with criminals running our government. And I don't say that lightly. And I don't take any pleasure. I don't take any pleasure in declaring my belief that Bush and Cheney are criminals. But it's astounding. And I'm not putting down Santa Cruz or Arcata or any other community that took this issue up, because some of them were subjected to ridicule in the right-wing blogs and media, saying, well, you know, this isn't your business. Well, it is your business. It is all of ours business. And Mayor Groves, tell me what kind of reaction you got, pro and con, when you adopted that resolution and sent it off to Washington.
Well, we got quite a bit of feedback from people nationwide who emailed the council with threats and about us being unpatriotic. There were some people in there, too, who said it was absolutely patriotic, and they were proud that we were courageous to take that kind of stand. But locally, there were concerns about people still wanting to come to Arcata or boycotting Arcata because we took this stand against the war early, and we've taken this stand against Bush and Cheney more than once, asking for their impeachment for several different crimes that they've committed in their offices. So it was there was a bit of everything, and it was a difficult decision to make at the council level. But Arcata has done that many times, and I'm sure, I hope in the future we'll continue to take stands that are important to national issues.
Well, I think it's very appropriate, and I applaud you for it. Thank you very much. Let's
Thank you.
Arcata. And I don't want to leave out Santa Cruz or
right.
San Francisco, because there are other communities that have done this as well. And if it weren't for the governor, there would be a resolution on the ballot when we go to the polls for the presidential primary in February that would have permitted us to express our opposition to the continuing occupation in Iraq. And I believe that these are very reasonable mechanisms available to the public. And it deeply disappoints me when I hear Nancy Pelosi say that impeachment is off the table. And I have known Nancy Pelosi for a long time. I have respect for her in many areas, but not in this one.
Right. Me either.
Yeah. So I want to ask you about some of the other local issues. What are some of the big things that you're working on? And in particular, do you have any initiatives in the green direction where Arcata may be trying out some new programs or working with community groups to reduce our carbon footprints and improve our environmental conditions?
Absolutely. Arcata has always worked to set the standard really locally and across the state on greenhouse gas reduction, global warming, and preserving our open space around the city. We have a community forest that's 50 years old. And the city protects that forest, and we've added to our forests and save other forests around our area that came up for sale. One of them was the Sunnybrae Forest that took a lot of different funding mechanisms to keep our hands on. There was a reappraisal. It went up another couple $1 million, and we really worked hard to keep that forest from being clear-cut.
Yeah.
And it was saved last year. We have an energy committee, and they have been working on our greenhouse gas reduction plan for a couple of years now. And the city is looking at ways that in our operations we can lower our carbon footprint.
Mm-hmm.
As well as some of the other green things, I guess you'd say, we have a committee on democracy and corporations who several years ago passed an ordinance that limits formula restaurants. So really, we limited the number of fast food chains that could come and compete with local business in Arcata, and we're looking to do the same thing with retail.
Tell me how that works. Isn't that a violation of some corporate personhood's rights?
Well, we grandfathered in the ones that are already part of Arcata, and in order for another fast food chain to come in, another one has to go out of business. So. Oh. One time I was at a League of California Cities meeting, which is a group of council members across California, and at this government table for this dinner was PG&E, Starbucks, and other big cities. And I remember the lady from Starbucks leaned in and said, "So Harmony, how many Starbucks do you have in Arcata?" I said, "Well, actually, we don't have any, and we have a lot of local coffee companies, and we technically have an ordinance against allowing Starbucks to come in whenever they choose."
Wow. Reverend Billy would be delighted to hear that. Do you know about Reverend Billy?
No, I don't.
He's been banned from Starbucks because he and the Church of Stop Shopping have done cash register interventions where
Excellent.
They go in and pray over the cash register and then urge customers to back away from corporate coffee.
Wonderful.
RevBilly.com. And the Reverend Billy has a film that is just being released. Look for it. It's called What Would Jesus Buy? And it takes a hard, critical look at our materialism and consumerism. Let's take a phone call here. Greg in Carmel, thanks for calling the Peter B. Collins Show. You're on the air.
Yes, hi. My name's Greg from Carmel. How are you?
We covered that, Greg from Carmel. I'm doing fine, thanks.
He called back because he cut himself off. I apologize.
Oh, that's
and,
okay.
I'm just calling to tell you that I started listening to KRXA down in Monterey to a show, the Extraordinary Golf Show.
Sure.
That was on with Fred Shoemaker, and
right.
I had no idea that you were just starting out.
Mm-hmm.
And you've done such a wonderful job of bringing issues to the people. The interest level of, amongst my friends has increased, and different subject matters and areas that I feel are of utmost importance to this country. And we look forward to your book. When's it coming out?
I better get to work.
You should.
It's hard to find time. When I talk to Tom Hartman, for example, he publishes a book almost every year. And he also does two radio shows a day. I only do one. And I am amazed that he finds the time to do it. But maybe if I could learn how to write in my sleep, I could work on that, Craig.
Well, we certainly appreciate everything you do for our community and for the country. And I hope if you're not nationally syndicated, you certainly should be. And we'll look forward to that.
Greg, that's very kind of you. Thanks for the call. Wow.
Yeah, thank you.
I appreciate that. 888-5 Peter B. If you'd like to join us, if you just tuned in, we're broadcasting live from Eureka, California, at the beautiful downtown Eureka Theater. This is one of the Art Deco houses that was built probably in the 20s or 30s. Do you know the history here, Mayor Harmony Groves?
I don't know the history of the Eureka Theater as well as I could.
Yeah. Well, California is blessed to have a lot of these great old theaters, and in my community, the Rafael Theater has been rehabilitated over the last few years, and it's just a great local resource center and community gathering spot, so it's very valuable. What have I not asked you about that you'd love to tell our listeners about that's going on in Arcata?
Let's see. Well, one thing that I really value about being a city council member and running for office in Arcata that I hope that Eureka will embrace one of these days is voluntary campaign finance reform. And actually, my campaign cost about $3,000, and the campaigns in Eureka are much more expensive. And each council member decides to not take more than $160 from any single person or business. And I think that that has really made a difference, because people can run for office with very little money from the community representing their neighborhood.
Yeah. Well, I think that's very important. And we have a system of legalized bribery in terms of our campaign finance laws. And it's just so obscene to see hundreds of millions of dollars that mostly will flow to the television companies, the five or six companies that own most of the TV stations in the country. They have it built into their business plan that they're expecting a windfall of hundreds of millions of dollars coming up in 2008. And what you're going to see is snarky, slimy attack ads. They don't add to the debate. They don't extend the conversation. They don't really expand your understanding of the issues. And they'll be built on the kind of reporting that Bob Perry talked about earlier this hour. The smears of Barack Obama will be appearing in a Swift Boat-style television commercial sometime soon. We all lose except for the TV station owners. They're the ones who pocket that money. And the faster that we can revise those laws and really get the big money out of politics, the better off we'll all be. And we just saw a nasty law that was embraced by the Democrats in Sacramento and passed through that is called a statewide campaign finance reform law. But what it actually does is eviscerate or neutralize the regulations like those that you've passed in Arcata. And it allows state corporations, you know, the phone company, the utilities, to basically roll over the good government regulations that you've put into place. And Schwarzenegger signed it. Most of the Democrats, with just a handful of exceptions, supported it. And like so many things in Sacramento, it sailed through with barely a peep, very little notice to the public here in California. So we have to remain vigilant. We have to keep fighting on that front. Right. Mayor Harmony Groves from Arcata, thanks for being here today.
Thank you.
We'll return in just a moment. Jake from Davis wants to join us. We'll talk to Jake, and we'll take more of your calls if you'd like to call in toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 1-888-573-8372. We'll continue in a moment, live from Eureka.
You're listening to KRXA 540. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super grain nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Whole Foods Market in Monterey, Cornucopia Community Market in Carmel, Staff of Life in Santa Cruz, and New Leaf Markets in Santa Cruz and Capitola. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
Joseph's Upholstery of Monterey will satisfy all of your upholstery needs, whether for your home or business. Joe Vitale finishes headboards, chairs, sofas, and pillows. Joe imports the finest selected fabrics from Italy, Germany, France, and other European countries to add a distinctive touch to your home or office. Joseph's Upholstery is conveniently located at 222 Ramona Avenue in Monterey. They're open Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30, and on Saturday, 9 to 1. Call Joe at 831-372-3224. Remember, at Joseph's Upholstery, there's one low price for all. And free delivery and pickup is available throughout Monterey and Santa Cruz counties. Call Joe Vitale now at Joseph's Upholstery, 372-3224.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. Collins. We're live here at the Eureka Theater. It is a sunny, crisp winter day here, or it's late fall, right on the cusp of early December. Tomorrow's the 1st of December. We're delighted to be here in Eureka. I want to thank everybody who made this possible, including our friends at Color Impressions and other sponsors of the Peter B. Collins Show here on KGOE. You can call in if you're listening on the radio here or anywhere within the sound of my voice at 888-5-PETER-B. And we've got Roy Zimmerman in the house. He's going to be taking the stage to perform live after our broadcast concludes after 6 o'clock tonight.
I don't. Thank you so much. There's the yay guy again. I feel sorry for Bush, to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
I don't hate him. I feel sorry for him. I say lay off. He waved to Stevie Wonder. He did. Gave everyone a stupid name, and when he did, I laughed and called him idiot. But now I see him clearly, and my heart is filled with shame. The words my mama said keep ringing in my head. She told me, don't make fun of the crippled boy. He's had it bad enough. His case is sad enough already. Don't mock his cranium full of air. It isn't nice. It isn't fair. Don't point and stare at the crippled boy, Peter.
Roy Zimmerman. So it's not too late. If you're listening on KGOE, feel free to come by the Eureka Theater. We're live broadcasting till 6 o'clock, and then Roy will perform for us. It's a great 1-2 punch. We've got Jake on the line from Davis. Welcome, Jake. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show, and hundreds of people are listening here in Eureka Live.
Well, I'm glad. I wanted to tell hello to everyone up there. I did my undergraduate work at Humboldt State. In fact, I got a letter today. They're seeking money from us old alumni, and I used to pitch for the Crabs a long, long time ago, and there isn't a nicer place in the whole world to live than Humboldt County.
All right.
And I couldn't have grown up to be who I am without Humboldt County.
Wow. You're getting choked up like Musharraf taking off his uniform.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't think in such a short stay you'll be able to know how lovely the people are up there and what an important place it is for California.
Well, thank you, Jake. I tap into the love every day, and I do feel it here. Thank you very much
for
that call.
Thanks for having your show up there.
All right. My pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Joining me now is Larry Glass. He's a member of the Eureka City Council, and he's on the front page of today's paper, just for my convenience. Hi, Larry.
Hello, Peter.
How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm getting my voice back. I lost it a couple days ago.
If I wanted to get into a fracas with you, what would I have to do? Like pretend to be a right-wing millionaire newspaper publisher with an attitude?
That's million with a B.
Oh, the billionaire?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I undersold Rob Arkley. So right here on the front of the Times Standard, we picked it up down the road a piece. State looks at Arkley Glass. And so the DA, Paul Gallegos, has recused himself. And now Jerry Brown is going to be investigating this event that took place in September. Your lawyer has told you not to spill too many of the details of the event itself. But you were able to tell me that there was no fracas, that there was what? An argument and some pushing and shoving, and that you didn't initiate any of it. Is that all fair to say?
That's correct.
So what's the beef? What's Rob Arkley's deal with you? Why does he? Why did he want to get in your face at this reception you were at?
Well, the you know, if we go by what he said during that period of time, it appeared to be his anger over my perceived bias over his development that he wants to do on the balloon track.
Uh-huh. So he was lobbying you about council business.
Threatening me would be the way I would put
okay.
it.
Okay. And as I understand it, and I've heard a description of this, I heard a tape from an interview at K-Hum back during the days just after the event, you basically were very careful, and you stood there and you absorbed this verbal and then physical assault. But the newspaper keeps describing it as if it was big-time wrestling and you were out there throwing punches.
Yeah, it's bad enough to have, you know, your assailant own one of the papers in the town, but you'd expect the rival paper to at least be sympathetic to the situation. But instead, since the very beginning, they've really sort of played this re-victimize the victim kind of scenario where they've portrayed it as a shoving match, and they had a cartoon with two babies fighting. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've really tried to diminish me in this whole thing.
Well, I doubt that this is the fact, but Rob Arkley, if you're listening, I look a lot like Dr. Phil. And if you come over to the Eureka Theater right now, we can hash this out. And we'll just do a little therapy right here on the radio. What do you say? Larry Glass, it's great to meet you. Thanks for coming by today, and thank you for selling our tickets to this event at the Works.
You're welcome, and welcome to Eureka. And I know you've been here in Humboldt County before, but feel free to come back to Eureka anytime. We need more of your progressive, clear-minded thinking.
Thank you, Larry Glass. I'm delighted to bring it here. We're going to take a break and return. David Cobb, who carried the standard for the Green Party as their presidential candidate in 2004, will join us next. Your calls and comments are welcome at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372, The Peter B. Collins Show. Don't forget the first.
We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, explain the value of wines made from organic grapes.
You know, I think that drinking organic wines is what Tony Robbins described as a class one experience. Wines made with organic grapes feel good. They taste extremely good, just like an organic tomato or a strawberry tastes usually better than a conventional counterpart. They are good. There's plenty of scientific evidence about the health benefits of drinking wine in moderation. Drinking organic wines also is good for other people in that you know you're supporting farmers. And last but not least, it's definitely good then for the higher good.
The Organic Wine Company. Log on to ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE toll-free. That's 1-888-ECO-WINE.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Peaceful ending to a Clinton campaign office hostage situation.
He came out with his hands up, fell to his knees, and then removed something that was strapped to his stomach.
Progress in Iraq.
In terms of U.S. casualties, the news is nothing but good.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. It ended within the past hour. A man who'd been holding hostages at the Hillary Clinton campaign office in Rochester, New Hampshire, surrendered to a police SWAT team. No shots fired, no one hurt. Reporter Paul Burton of CBS television affiliate WBZ explains how it began.
Witnesses told police it was just after 1 o'clock when the man barged into the storefront office, opened his coat, and revealed what looked like an explosive device. He allowed a woman carrying a baby to leave, but then ordered a small number of others to the floor.
Over the next several hours, the other hostages were freed. The suspect is identified as Leland Eisenberg, a man described as emotionally disturbed. Senator Clinton, who canceled her public schedule and went to her Washington home, says she's grateful that all her staff and volunteers are safe. Now this.
Happy Honda Days!
Can I help you guys?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're having a tough time deciding between these Honda trucks.
Okay.
What do you recommend that has lots of room and can handle the North Pole?
Well, the Pilot is available with four-wheel drive and has seating for eight.
Oh, that sounds perfect.
Make this a season to remember. Think Honda for the holidays.
All right, then. We'll take the Pilot.
Wonderful. Will you gentlemen be joint owners?
Oh, no. It's a gift for the big guy.
Yeah, we make wonderful toys, but our cars stink.
I see.
Happy Honda Days from your Honda dealer.
Hey, it's Ty Pennington. This holiday, I'm all about granting wishes. Now, a spare tire is something most people aren't wishing for this time of year. But how about a brand new set of tires from Sears Auto Centers? This week, it's the biggest tire sale of the year, with unbeatable prices on brands like Michelin, Goodyear, and BF Goodrich. In fact, Sears Auto Centers has all kinds of goodies for anyone who has a car, which makes it the perfect vehicle for granting wishes. So get your holiday rolling with a huge tire sale at Sears. And don't just give a gift, grant a wish.
Exclusions and restrictions apply. See store for details. Offer ends 12107.
The news from Iraq is encouraging. CBS News correspondent David Martin reports U.S. military casualties have declined dramatically.
They've come down every single month of the surge. In May, there were 120 American combat deaths. Right now, there are 27. That is a precipitous drop.
Marines fighting in Anbar province, one of the once the most dangerous place in Iraq, have not suffered even one combat death since October 8th. Motorcycle daredevil Evel Knievel died today in Clearwater, Florida. CBS News reporter Karen Regal has his story.
They didn't get much more macho than Evel Knievel.
When you do what I do for a living, you have to have a positive mental attitude. If that positive mental attitude doesn't work when you make that jump, you have to be man enough to handle the circumstances. In my case, I'm man enough.
Robert Evel Knievel made a career out of being a daredevil. He wowed the nation by jumping the fountains at Caesar's Palace and coming close to spanning Snake River Canyon. Not long ago, Knievel became a religious man and said he wished he'd lived just a little easier.
I started off just being a wild person, doing things that weren't right against society. I never wanted to be told what to do.
Evel Knievel was 69 years old. Karen Regal, CBS News.
An Amtrak train moving through the south side of Chicago rear-ended a Norfolk Southern freight train that was stopped on the tracks. The Amtrak engine rode up on top of the rear freight car. This woman and her family were passengers.
Well, I was sitting listening to my son read a book, and my daughter was on my husband's lap, and my oldest was looking out the window, leaning forward. Luckily, we kept telling him not to, but he kept doing it. Luckily, that was saved him when the impact was there. He was already up against the soft part of the seat, so he was bruised up a little bit, but he's okay.
At least 14 were seriously hurt. 5 are in critical condition. 4 days after the fatal shooting of football star Sean Taylor, the investigation appears to be making progress. CBS News correspondent Peter King brings us up to date.
Police spent much of the day talking to three people in the Fort Myers area. Janice Burton Sharpstein is Sean Taylor's friend and attorney.
They have not released any names at this point because no one has been arrested. They're only being detained for questioning.
But while police aren't saying anything publicly, CBS television affiliate WINK Fort Myers reports that Taylor's brother and sister may have been involved in the burglary, that Taylor gave them money, and they shared it with the people who were in custody. That lends more credibility to the idea that Taylor's home was targeted. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
The WINK story cannot be confirmed. In Aruba, authorities say the two brothers, rearrested last week in connection with Natalie Holloway's disappearance, will be released tomorrow. It's not clear why. A third suspect, a Dutch college student, Joran Vandersloot, remains in jail. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Happy Honda Days!
May I help you?
Greetings. I had my eye on this nice big Odyssey, and this Civic sure is a looker. Oh, and the Accord, it's all new, isn't it?
Make this a season to remember. Think Honda for the holidays.
Oh, what the heck? I'll take all of them.
You want every Honda in our showroom?
Do you think I can fit them in this large red bag?
All right, is this a joke? Am I on a hidden camera or something?
Attention, there's a reindeer parked outside with its nose light on.
I'll be right back.
Happy Honda Days from your Honda dealer.
Hi, my name's Bill, and I'm totally hooked on mobile banking. You see, with Wachovia and AT&T's newest feature, mobile banking is easy. Too easy. I mean, I'll be putting my phone on vibrate before a movie, and before I know it, I'm transferring funds, checking account balances, or even paying the bills. Seriously, who pays a bill during the previews?
Wachovia has taken mobile banking to a new level. To learn more, go to wachovia.com/mobile banking. Are you with Wachovia?
Wachovia Bank N.A. and Wachovia Bank of Delaware N.A. are members FDIC.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
And for the antidote to be effective, you must apply it liberally. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show, originating live from Eureka, California. We're at the scenic and stately Eureka Theater. It's on F Street downtown. So if you're listening right now on KGOE 1480, alter your plans, call home, say you're going to be late. I want you to come over. We've still got room for you in the theater here. I'd love to see you. And Jake Pickering, where are you? Jake from Arcata, I want to see you here today. I've talked to this guy on the phone hundreds of times, never had a chance to put eyes to the face, and I'd like to do that. And anybody else who wants to call in, you're welcome to join us. 888-5 Peter B is working right here in the North State. You can call me at 888-573-8372. Now, one of the reasons I like to go on location is that I get to see listeners. Alice is here, Dave, one of our frequent callers, and Carl Young. I don't want to leave anybody out, and I'm sorry if I haven't mentioned everybody, but those are the people who reach out and connect with our program on a regular basis, and it makes the whole thing work. I also get to meet people like David Cobb, who I've talked with on many occasions over the phone. He's here live with us today. We have similar haircuts, and we're both in green shirts.
How about that?
David, welcome.
Thank you, Peter B. It's always a pleasure to be on your show, and it's especially a privilege to welcome you to Eureka, California.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. And you're a hero in my book, because not only did you run for president as the Green Party candidate in 2004 and articulate a number of very important issues, but when John Kerry failed to call for a recount, to authorize a recount in Ohio in 2004, you, as a bona fide candidate on the ballot, were able to do so. And while the results were not totally satisfying, it did unearth a number of issues that showed us very clearly that the election in Ohio was gamed, manipulated, and I believe, frankly, stolen by the Republicans. And a similar thing happened with different characters and different methods in Florida in 2000.
Well, Peter B., that's exactly right. And I really want to underscore the point that you're making and to the listeners of your program. The reality is George W. Bush is an illegitimate occupant of the White House. He did not win the election in 2000. He did not win the election in 2004. And I appreciate the fact that the only way that information got out in 2004 was on independent radio shows like the Peter B. Collins Show, community radio stations like our own KMUD radio here and other community radio stations across the country, and the Internet. Because the corporate media conspired with the corporatist and the militarist of both the Democratic and the Republican Party to try to prevent the story from getting out that George W. Bush stole another election.
And when we raised these questions and tried to get the mainstream media to cover it, the most we could get is the kind of treatment they give to Star Trek fans.
Yes.
Okay? They say, isn't this cute? These people think that the election was gamed or stolen or manipulated, and in the same breath that they report that, they use language to dismiss our concerns and to act as if we are lunatics and conspiracy theorists for acknowledging the truth.
Well, you know, Peter B., that's exactly right. And, of course, that's what the elites and the oligarchs always do to voices of peace and justice. Voices that are calling for systemic social change in this country are always ridiculed and mocked by the elites. And today, what's frightening is that they're not only able to mock and ridicule our voices, but they literally control almost 90% of the media throughout this country, which is why shows like the Peter B. Collins Show, radio stations like KGOE, radio stations like all the other stations across California, and I hope soon across the country that'll be carrying your show, are so critical to support because it provides us an opportunity to talk to one another without the oligarchs and the corporatists filtering what we have to say.
Right. And just one example, I don't know how many of you were able to stomach the CNN YouTube debate.
So-called debate.
With the Republican candidates this week. Because what they did was allow John Q. Public to shoot a video, put it up on YouTube, and then CNN, in a classic paternalistic move, selected the questions, not to try to reflect the broad sense of interest among the American public, but to try to set up a mud fight or a wrestling match among the candidates. And you could tell by their intentional use of immigration as the lead topic at the last two debates that they're not interested in addressing the issues of great concern to Americans. They are looking at the polls, looking at their market research, and saying, what can we do to jack up the ratings? What can we do to turn this into something that will compete with the dreck on the Fox News channel or on the Fox Entertainment channel? And they are dumbing down the discourse, and they are preventing us from understanding what we really need to know about the candidates for president.
Well, that's right, Peter B., and I think that it's especially why I value your show is because you actually allow thoughtful, engaged discourse, including voices that do not necessarily agree with you. One of the things that I've really appreciated from you is that there are times when we fiercely agree. There are times when we fiercely disagree, but we're always able to have a civil discourse. And I very much appreciate that because that is the bare necessity if we're going to really engage in a democratic, pluralistic society. And, you know, there are plenty of people, I think, who are hungry for that. And I think it's why your show is so popular. One of the things I really want to do, though, is get back to Ohio in 2004. Because it's true that the corporate media attempted to ridicule, mock, and marginalize us. But another thing the corporate media didn't tell is that there have been criminal convictions in Ohio thanks to the Ohio recount. There is concrete evidence that not only the recount was not conducted under law, but the election itself was not conducted under law. And so even though we were not able to prove that Kenneth Blackwell engaged in fraudulent activity, we were able to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that there were many local election administrators who did that. And we're working right now on a consent decree to make sure that at least in Ohio, those kinds of conduct will not be allowed to be repeated again.
Yeah.
So a victory small as it is, but a victory that shows the only way we can ever get justice, get peace, get systemic change in this country is to get up off our butts and fight for it.
David Cobb is with us, Green Party candidate for president in 2004. We're live in Eureka here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And I'm still looking for a listener who drove all the way down from Coos Bay. Have you arrived yet? Okay. I have a prize for the first person who comes in from Coos Bay today, and it's a copy, a DVD of the new documentary called Uncounted.
It's a fine work.
It's really well done, and Brad Friedman, who will be with us next hour, is one of the contributors to this film. And what it does is it shows the scope of rigged elections in this country. And what this documentary does is it goes beyond the issues that we've been covering a lot about the voting machines and the way they can be hacked and the results manipulated. It goes into the whole range, including the machines, but it talks about the way people were purged from voter lists, the way that the assignment of machines at the precincts was jiggered to prevent likely liberal voters from, say, being able to vote within 8 hours of their arrival at the polls.
Peter B., I want to jump in because I think you're being too gentlemanly now.
Okay.
Because it wasn't just an intentional effort to prevent likely liberal voters. It was a blatant racist attempt to make sure that African Americans were not able to vote in Ohio. The reality is that the Republican outfit in Ohio, the operatives there, made conscious, intentional decisions to allocate voting machines to ensure that the wealthy, affluent neighborhoods throughout Ohio had sufficient machines, and the waiting lists there were typically 5, 10, 20 minutes at most.
Right.
In low-income African-American communities, the wait was 6, 7, 8 hours long. On college campuses, 6, 7, and 8 hours long. It was a conscious, intentional, with malice aforethought, criminal conspiracy to prevent African-Americans and young people who were clearly more liberal voters from being able to vote. In addition to that, we had evidence that African-American voters received incorrect information on NAACP letterhead directing them to the wrong polling places, in some cases directing them that because they anticipated such a high voter turnout in 2004 that Republicans were scheduled to vote on Tuesday and Democrats should go and vote on Wednesday. Oh. I've seen the document. It was distributed. This was a far-reaching effort to do everything possible to prevent likely liberal voters and specifically African Americans and young people from voting. It's shameful.
This gentleman accepts your amendment and correction to my remarks.
I appreciate civil discourse, but folks, we got to tell the truth.
David Cobb is with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We've got some callers on the line. We'll get to you right after the next break. You can join this conversation. David Cobb is with us for the remainder of this hour. My toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Our computer's busy here, so I'm not able to access email at the moment, but feel free to send me a note, peter@peterbcollins.com, and I will catch up with it later. Let's go to a break now, Brian, in San Francisco, and we'll return here shortly, live from Eureka, the Peter B. Collins
Show. All right.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
Are you looking for that new dream home at a price that's not a dream? At Pacific Pride Homes, we really do take pride in the small number of custom homes we build every year and the fact that we can offer estate-quality homes without the estate price. We are now providing special financing and pricing on two of our beautiful new custom homes located in gated communities in North Monterey County. We invite you to visit us at PacificPrideHomes.com for details and directions.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli, with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Carmel's community bookstore, The Pilgrim's Way, is a locally owned independent bookstore and has been for nearly 40 years.
Discover for yourself our intimate and unique setting, including the secret garden, known locally as a hidden treasure in downtown Carmel. Our friendly staff at Pilgrim's Way are available to assist you with any personal needs or gift buying. And our book selection offers the best of personal development, local interest, bestsellers, novels, children's, and metaphysical, plus much, much more. We have great music and healing tools, cards, and garden statuary.
Visit us at www.pilgrimsway.com or call 624-4955 or visit the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel's only bookstore, and the Secret Garden on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in Carmel.
At Homescapes Carmel, we search far and near to find the best locally made, American made, and imported furnishings the world has to offer. I'm Thompson Lang, and my brother Beau and I scour the globe to find unique, unusual, and unmatched merchandise to help you personalize your home and garden. We're proud to offer a variety of products such as cabinets, lamps, and vases made with bamboo, plantation teak, and other renewable and reclaimed resources. These items are beautiful, durable, and most of all, eco-friendly. So stop by Homescapes Carmel on the corner of 7th and Dolores, or visit homescapescarmel.com.
All right, folks, it's Happy Friday. Let's take a look at the very latest, and we're going to start off with a, a little problem being reported in Gilroy right now. It is on northbound 101, just before Highway 152. It's an injury crash. One car overturned, landed in the center divide. Three other vehicles in the right shoulder. We do have a paramedics, fire department crews on scene, as you folks might imagine. Meanwhile, I also want to take a look at Santa Clara County, 152 eastbound after Casa de Fruta. It's a big rig and partially blocking the right lane there. Del Monte Forest, a 17-mile drive at Sunridge, two-vehicle crash blocking one of the lanes. Carmel Valley Village, Laurel's Grade at West Carmel Valley, fired power lines, possibly some trees burning near the roadway, and the fire department is on scene handling that situation. This report brought to you by JCPenney's. It's the JCPenney huge holiday Saturday only.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions had an echo in so much space.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show live from the beautiful Eureka Theater in Eureka, California. More and more people pouring in here. Delighted to see you all. There's still room in the house, so come on over if you're listening on KGOE 1480. We're going to hear from Roy Zimmerman again in a couple of minutes, and he'll be taking the stage after 6 o'clock tonight to entertain us with his well-informed political satire tunes. So that's all ahead. We continue now with David Cobb, Green Party presidential candidate from 2004 and an activist here in Humboldt County. Matt joins us from El Dorado over near Sacramento. Matt, thanks for calling in today.
Yeah, nice show. I've got a question, and, well, it's a little different than what I told the screener, but...
Oh, then we're going to have you arrested.
Well, anyway, you'd have to get in line.
Okay.
There's a problem here somewhere, and does he see the problem as a majority of people in this country or the form of government we have?
Well, Matt, thanks for the question. I'll tell you without a doubt, I see the problem as the corporatist and the militarist who have hijacked our government. I've had the privilege of traveling across this country, and in my experience, the American people are just like the people throughout the world, which are decent, loving, compassionate people for the most part, who want the right things, frankly. They want peace. They want security. They want good jobs. They want a healthy environment. The reality is that the hopes, dreams, and aspirations of the American people are not being made manifest by our own government, and that's because our government has literally been hijacked by corporations.
Now it's my turn. Aren't you being too much of a gentleman about the American public? Because let me give you this example. Shortly after the election was stolen in Ohio in 2004, the election was rigged in the Ukraine. And the U.S. said, aha, the exit polls are way off from the published results. People took to the streets, the Orange Revolution, and George W. Bush demanded that they rerun that election. When it happened in this country, when the exit polls didn't match the published results, most people grabbed their remotes and changed the channel.
Peter B., I got to tell you, I think that you're half right, but that means you're half wrong, my friend, because the difference between the Orange Revolution was that in that revolution, the person who may have had the election stolen from out from under him was out in the streets banging the pots and pans with the rest of the people. There was not only the people in the streets, but there was a media that actually covered that exposure. And in this country, most Americans did not even realize that the election had been at best gamed, at worst outright stolen. So I submit to you that if on CNN, if on broadcast media, if there had actually, if you had allowed me to actually be covered explaining what we had seen about the long lines, about the machine breakdowns, about the NAACP, about all the various things that this fantastic video Uncounted documents or Hijacking Democracy documents, I think that the American people would have been out in the streets.
Okay, let's take another call. Chris in Salinas, thanks for calling the Peter B. Collins Show with David Cobb.
Yes, how you doing, Peter? And thanks for what you're doing, Mr. Cobb. I was wondering if you would address the situation in Ohio where they basically destroyed the evidence that was supposed to be held, you know, the ballots and all that. A lot of the counties didn't retain that information. And I was wondering if you could address that, and I'll take your answer off air.
Thank you, Chris.
Yes, Chris. I mean, it is an example of just how shameful John Kerry's refusal to join the recount was. And I say that, look, John Kerry didn't just concede, he capitulated. Because he knew that the election was stolen. And I believe that John Kerry was more concerned about his membership in good standing with the other ruling elites than he was about the integrity of the election or about actually taking the Oval Office. And because John Kerry refused to join that recount, we only had a very limited amount of time to be able to uncover as much evidence as we did. Now, what we were able to do actually resulted in several criminal convictions in several counties across
Ohio. That's right. Cuyahoga.
That's correct. We also uncovered evidence of the machines being, or access to the machines being reprogrammed before the recount began. That was actually...
Those were just tune-ups, David.
Yeah, tune-ups. Tune-ups. So what the caller, what Chris was referring to, the destruction of the evidence, was the fact that we never actually had full subpoena power because the Green Party Cobb-LaMarche recount effort had a very limited window. The judge told us that because we didn't have any ability to actually win the election, he would allow us to go through with the recount on purely technical procedural issues, but would not grant us the stay of certification, would not grant us subpoena power to actually take not only the ballots themselves, but most importantly, the machines, because I'm convinced that if we could have actually gotten our hands on those machines, that we would have been able to prove that there had actually been intentional fraud.
Have you ever talked to, not Kerry, but to John Edwards about the capitulation? Because it's reported that he was bitterly opposed to giving in.
Well, Peter B., I think that I appreciate you bringing that up because I don't normally talk about this because I haven't actually talked to Senator Edwards directly. But because you've asked me, I'll just share the hearsay narrative that I've heard. But it's only two persons removed. removed from that room.
Okay, 30 seconds. Go
on
ahead.
The election night, John Kerry and John Edwards had a screaming match about whether or not to contest that election. John Edwards was standing up and demanding that the election be fought for. He knew, just as John Kerry did, that the election was stolen, and John Edwards wanted to fight to secure the integrity of that election.
We're talking with David Cobb here live in Eureka at the Eureka Theater. We're going to take a break and return. If you're listening on the air, you can call us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. As we continue, I want to talk with David Cobb about the rumor we've heard that Cynthia McKinney may try to secure the Green Party nomination this coming year, and also talk about Karl Rove's vote-caging scheme, coming up on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
My favorite presidential quote. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. I have a favorite George Bush quote, and here it is.
We will help you build a peaceful and representative government that protects the rights of all citizens. And then our military forces will leave.
April 10th, 2003, the day after Saddam's statue was hauled down in the middle of Baghdad. As controversial as the war was at that time, his statement made it clear that America was different from countries who fight wars of conquest. It said, we came here not for territory, but to set you free. But then things began changing. By 2006, you couldn't get a straight answer to that basic question.
Will there come a day when there will be no more American forces in Iraq?
That, of course, is an objective.
Since then, the president's troop surge and the new approach of paying off the local militias has brought violence down 75%. We're back to losing only one soldier a day now. Buses are bringing hundreds of Iraqi refugees back from Syria. And yet this week, while all the cameras were focused on the Mideast summit in Annapolis, Iraq's prime minister agreed to set up a long-term political and security pact with the U.S. And what appears to be cooking here is that we will give complete control to the Iraqi army if American companies who want to invest in Iraq get preference, and if Iraq agrees to let us base about 50,000 troops there for a period that appears to be something approaching forever.
And then our military forces will leave.
Well, it's still my favorite quote. Now this.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, and hackers invade your business every day through email, instant messaging, web browsing, and your company's website. With no software to install and no per-user license fees, Barracuda Network firewalls are easy to set up and affordable. Do what 50,000 other companies have done. Reclaim your network with a Barracuda Network firewall. For a free evaluation unit, call Barracuda Networks, 888-ANTI-SPAM, 888-ANTI-SPAM, or go online to Barracuda.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos on the Christmas season.
We have the tree, we have refreshments. It's turned out to be a really big season for us.
Someone was in the other day who was telling their companion who had been there for the first time that, oh, and they also do Christmas, and you should see it with all the lights. It's just beautiful. So.
It's one of the prettiest times of the year.
Yeah. Christmas is fun. I mean, we start the kickoff with for the season, the first weekend in November with an open house, and we have homemade refreshments. In December, we have a live green wreath workshop where people can come and make their own green wreaths.
Call us at 685-1626, and we keep lists of anyone who's interested in the classes and schedule them accordingly. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn. If you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find. The Potting Shed.
Gifts for gardeners and everyone. We're hard to find, but it's worth it.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Carmo Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid Carmo Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Carmo Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid Carmo Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Carmo Shell at Rio Road and Mid Carmo Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
We'll be right back.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
We continue our live broadcast from the beautiful Eureka Theater here in Eureka, California, with our live audience. Hello! And we continue with David Cobb. He carried the presidential banner for the Green Party in 2004, and you can tell he's still a fighting man.
Listen, oh, thank you, Peter B. And I actually, before we get into a little bit of music, I just want to talk to my Eureka friends and neighbors and say, get on down to the Eureka Theater right now on F Street. We're having a great time here. We got music. We got progressive radio. We got community being built. So come on down while you can. This will be going till 6. Then at 6:30, I think we'll actually be treated to a concert. Yes?
Yep, that's right.
So come on down, the Eureka Theater on F Street. Come on down and join your fellow progressive friends and neighbors, and let's build a movement in this community.
Well, thank you, David, and do come on down. I want to meet you. Roy?
If I wasn't here already, I'd be coming down right now. I know
that. Roy's got a tune for us right now. Go ahead, Roy.
This song imagines a romantic encounter between George Bush and the nation of Iraq. Hey, baby, you're looking so fine. Wanna buy you a drink, what's your sign? Mission accomplished, that's mine. I bet you can't wait. I'll pull out, baby, I promise. With my dad, well, how many inspectors you had? I like you best when you're bad. I'm in a rogue state. I'll pull out, baby, I promise. Whoops, too late.
Roy Zimmerman riding shotgun with us today here at the Peter B. Collins Show, and he'll take the stage about 6:30 tonight here at the Eureka Theater. And if you're within the sound of my voice in Humboldt County, come on down. We're having a great time here, and we'd love to see you join us. And as we mentioned, David Cobb is here with us, and an honored guest, brightly dressed in a red coat and a beautiful red hat, is with us here today. One of my favorite callers from the Eureka area, it's Alice. Hello, Alice. How you doing today?
I'm so thrilled to see you there. And also, Mr. Cobb.
Yeah.
I've read so many articles of his and have learned a lot. And
Well, Alice, you've been around for more than 90 years and you've seen a lot. Tell us what your observations are about the state of things today and what people like your friends and neighbors who are here with us in the theater today ought to be doing.
Well, they should be working at this. Save our country.
Oh, not working on their jobs, working on saving our country, yes.
Yes, and saving our troops. I worry about them.
Yeah.
And I am going to be 84, 94.
One of those.
I'm trying to make myself younger.
Well, you know, that's what they do on the internet. I'm sure that when you post on Craigslist, you say you're only 84.
Yeah. But it was the first time I ever talked on the air.
When you called my show?
To Peter B.
A former virgin.
Yes, a former virgin.
Well, that's what they say about most of the women who call our show. Well, Alice, it's so great to see you here today. And by the way, you were the lucky winner of that case of Central Coast wine on our first anniversary. Did it all go down smooth?
Well, I've got 2 bottles left.
Oh, wow.
I'm saving
out of a case.
Yeah. Well, you're pacing yourself. You're planning to be around for a long time.
Well, I don't even think about that.
Yeah.
Because one day takes care of another.
That's right. Well, Alice, I'm delighted that you're blessing us with your presence here today. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Peter B., and keep up the work.
I certainly will, with your encouragement.
All right. Thank you, Alice. And how about that good advice that we ought to all go about the serious work of saving our country? Thank you, Alice, for that. I agree with you.
All right, Brian, are you ready with a little traveling music there, please? We're going to talk to Victoria in Columbus, Ohio, and she is the lead singer of Victrola and the Dust Bunnies. And one of my favorite songs from their new CD is called Another Fascist Day. Do we have the music available, Brian? Let's see if he can slam it in there. Apparently not. Victoria, I hear your happy voice. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
It is delightful to talk with you again, Peter B. And David Cobb, we all supported you here in Ohio in 2004. We were heartbroken by the rigged recount, and we're still heartbroken because the Maiden and Dreamer, who were supposed to have received 18 months as a sentence, got their wrists slapped. But I want you to know, David, that we at the Ohio Election Justice Campaign, we are still on the ground here, and we are still fighting for election justice in Ohio. We're diehards. We love punishment.
Well, Victoria, we very much appreciate your on-the-ground efforts there. And let's take a little look at a forecast for 2008. Is Ohio going to be a problem again in the presidential contest?
Well, I'm actually quite concerned about the testing of our voting machines. Our new Secretary of State, Jennifer Bruner, has tested our voting machines. The testing ended today. They are going to do the autopsy, I hope, on electronic voting. But I'm concerned because one of the people choosing the county DOE directors to observe the testing is also a registered lobbyist for ES&S. And, just the appearance of that looks so bad. And I'm concerned, honestly.
Yeah.
You should be, Victoria. And I, first of all, I just want to really acknowledge that you and the folks at the Electoral Justice Campaign Ohio are continuing to fight. Because the reality is, if we want to make sure that elections are not stolen in this country, it's going to take diligence and vigilance in every community across this country. States like Ohio, states like Florida, states like Pennsylvania that are the so-called swing states get the most attention, as well they should, because of the importance of the presidential election. But the reality is every community needs vibrant community organizations that are bird-dogging elections and election administrators. And I think you're really making an important point when you talk about how corporate vendors have basically become the de facto election administrators in this country. The reality is people like Bob Ney, Jack Abraham have engaged in a systematic effort to privatize elections in this country.
They gave us HAVA, the Help America Vote Act, which I have renamed the Help America's Vendors Act.
Well said. Yeah. Well said, Victoria. And, think about it this way. Elections and the administration of elections are the very infrastructure of our democracy. So if we can't have confidence in the results of the elections, then we really can't have confidence in any of the institutions. And if there is one institution that absolutely, positively must be 100% publicly controlled and accountable, it's elections. Now, I would say that we need to expand that to media, we would expand that to health care, to transportation choices. But by golly, we have got to start with making sure that our elections are under public, transparent control.
Right. And we do not need to rush the results. Even though I wasn't happy with the outcome of the Supreme Court's decision in 2000, we did establish that the Republic did not crumble because we didn't know the winner on the night of or even the day after the election. And one of the things that is driving all this is the media's desire to have a neat little package and, of course, to save money or to make more money by only having to cover elections on election night so that the next day they can be making money on the, Friends or Office or any other show like that. And so we need to make it clear to people that we want the results to be accurate, and we don't have to get them immediately.
Absolutely.
We need hand-counted paper ballots. We need to get it right on election night, and we need public financing of campaigns. Those two simple solutions would restore our American democratic elections. And I think we need hand-counted paper ballots and public financing.
Mm-hmm. Well, Victoria, I appreciate your activism and your advocacy, and thanks a lot for calling in today.
Absolutely.
Thank you,
I just want to echo that, Victoria. And it's been a real pleasure to watch from afar the great work that you're doing. And I'm so glad that you're working with my colleague, Blair Beaubier, to try to do what we can, limited as it is, to try to help your efforts.
Yes, and I thank Patty Schaefer, too. She's like a junkyard dog, and help her out if you can.
All right, Victoria, thank you very much.
Okay.
Good to talk to you. And David Cobb, I wanted to ask you about your thoughts about the bigger picture of the way Republicans have schemed to control our elections. Because we've talked about the specifics of Ohio, and we touched a little bit on Florida. But what we've seen in the outlines of the U.S. attorney scandal is that Karl Rove was busy fixing elections, starting with the Alabama's governor's race in 2002. That's
right.
Don Siegelman. We did a lengthy segment on that on the show the other day. And that was tied together with the appointment of friendly, crony U.S. attorneys who could be relied upon not to pursue cases of election fraud, and many of whom took the order from Washington to pursue cases of so-called voter fraud, to try to make it look like the problem with elections was people who had illegally registered or illegally voted, when we know that that's a minuscule part of the problem. And the real smokescreen that they were able to throw up is by blaming some minorities and non-citizens for trying to vote, they said, illegally. It tried to distract us from their bigger efforts to control the whole election process.
Well, no doubt about it. And this, what you're getting at, Peter, actually shows the interconnected nature of the problem. But it also underscores the depths to which the Republican corporatists and what I say proto-fascists are willing to do to steal elections or at best game them. You're certainly correct that Justice Department scandal around the district, the federal attorney's office is demonstrating that cronies were put into office in order to guarantee that there would not be investigations and criminal prosecutions associated with stolen elections. But let's go one step further, because those same mechanisms were used to actually affirmatively engage in a subtle form of fraud known as vote caging, where they actually affirmatively go in, cage off certain voters to challenge them so that those to do everything in their power to prevent those votes, even though they had been counted or cast, from ever being counted.
Right.
So between failure to pursue the sort of fraud that's going on in other areas, preventing people from voting, sort of electronic Jim Crow segregation kind of activities, to vote caging operations, what you're seeing is a full-fledged effort to engage in gaming of elections. And on top of that, in addition to that, you've got this fusion between the corporate vendors, almost all of which have ties to the Republican Party and as huge Republican Party donors,
yeah,
the vendors who are actually counting these votes. We've got a major problem on our hand, and the only way it's going to be solved is if enough people yell and scream and there's a grassroots demand to make it happen. And frankly, we saw the success of that here in California when Secretary of State Deborah Bowen, because of the kind of pressure that was happening from a vibrant movement in this country, went through a full top-to-bottom review, and we are in the process of decertifying several of those vendors as a result.
And inexplicably, the new Republican governor of Florida, the guy who replaced Jeb, has banned electronic voting machines in the state of Florida.
For all practical purposes, and I think it's because Ion Sancho, who is an election administrator in Florida.
A real hero.
A genuine hero and a friend, and you should have him on the show.
Oh, he's been on several times.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Ion is a wonderful, courageous man, and he was actually providing opportunities for computer experts to come in and look at these machines that had already been certified. And so I don't think that that Republican Florida governor had somehow seen the light and wanted to do good things. I think he knew that Ion was about to put him in a place where he was going to get his butt caught.
We're going to take a break and return. David Cobb's got the story right. He, of course, was the Green Party's presidential candidate in 2004. After the break, we've got a caller on the line from Salinas, and I see Dave at the microphone. We're going to get to you next. 888-5 Peter B is our toll-free number if you'd like to join the conversation. We're live from the Eureka Theater on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina.
Our radio show for the whole family.
Hundreds of
dysfunctional family.
Ales,
Stephanie Miller on AM 540, KRXA, 6 a.m. weekdays.
Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
Hey, everybody, let's take a look at Friday traffic. You folks make your way home tonight. First of all, we're going to mention we got a Gilroy problem. North 101 for 152 is a car that overturned and landed right smack in the center divide. We have three other vehicles on the right shoulder. Also, in the southbound direction in Gilroy, southbound 101 at Monterey Street, there's a two-car crash. It is on the right shoulder, and the CHP is on St. Carmel Valley. Laurel's great at West Carmel Valley. We have a fire. Looks like power lines and some trees were on fire. They were burning right near the roadway. The fire department is on scene handling this situation. In Del Monte, 417-mile drive at Sunridge, a two-car crash. One of the vehicles still may be blocking the right lane. We have police, CHP, on scene. And a Santa Clara County problem, eastbound 152 after Casa de Fruta. It's a big rig partially blocking the right lane still. This report brought to you by College Football on Versus. Saturday, Cal and Stanford, 4 o'clock, Versus.
Well, my daddy left home when I was 3, and he didn't leave much to Ma and me. Just this old guitar and an empty bottle of booze.
That's Johnny Cash and a boy named Sue.
Well, I don't blame
We're live in Eureka at the Eureka Theater. I'm Peter B. Collins. Good to have you with us here in the theater. Thanks for being here today. And also listening on the radio and online. Lines are open for you, toll-free at 888-5 Peter B. David Cobb, who ran for president as the Green Party nominee in 2004, is with us this hour. And, David, you never let up. Tell me what Measure T is that you're working on here.
Well, thank you so much, because the hat that I wear that I'm actually most proud of in this community is working with a local group, community organization called Democracy Unlimited of Humboldt County. You can check us out at, thank you, yeah, you can applaud Democracy Unlimited, online at duhc.org. And Democracy Unlimited drafted a law, a proposed law, back in 2006 that would forbid out-of-county corporate money from coming into our local elections and would forbid corporations from claiming constitutional rights in an attempt to overturn that particular law. Now, Democracy Unlimited is a nonprofit, so we weren't able to actually run the campaign, but we did draft the law and provided some technical and legal assistance. A group called the Humboldt Coalition for Community Rights, where environmentalists, peace activists, the Democrats, the Greens, organized labor, basically the progressive community of this of Humboldt County came together in a kind of unity and ran a campaign on pure volunteer effort. And Dave Goggin was the chief signature gatherer for that effort. So, Dave, kudos to you. And we passed that groundbreaking law by 55% of the vote in this community.
That's great.
Challenging directly not only corporate money, but challenging the very legal doctrine that a corporation should be a person with constitutional rights. There are now 8 communities across this country that have challenged that doctrine. And once again, if you listen to the corporate media, you won't know this, but if you listen to KGOE, if you listen to the Peter B. Collins Show, if you listen to independent radio stations, what you'll know is that there is a movement in this country of ordinary citizens doing the work necessary to take our country back from these corporate fascists.
Let's get a comment from Dave Goggin right here. Dave, great to have you here today.
Thank you both for all that you do. And what I'd like to add very briefly is that we have these neocons in power because they cheat. They rig elections. They cheat every way they can. And they also cheat. They rig the primaries and they rig the polls to make us think. Right now, they're trying to sell us on Hillary Clinton. Last time, they gave us Kerry. So we don't get to choose our own candidate. Edwards and Kucinich are defeating Hillary many times over to one. So I want us at least to be aware of that, and if there's anything we can possibly do to override it, we got to do it.
All right, Dave, thank you for that comment. I appreciate it. And thanks for all the times you've called the Peter B. Collins Show.
Dave Goggin. He's a real hero here in this community.
Yeah, do you want to comment on that, David?
Well, I think that's right. I think that it's really, look, I'm a Green, so I'm not going to be voting in the Democratic Party primary. However, I will say this. That Dennis Kucinich is the only candidate who opposed the war in Iraq before it started.
Yep.
He's the only sitting member of Congress who has repeatedly called for the impeachment of Bush and Cheney. If I were a progressive in the Democratic Party, there's no doubt who I'd be voting for.
Steve in Salinas, join us here in Eureka. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Just along with hand-counted paper ballots and public financing, I think one more thing we need in the election to be instant runoff elections. That way people could vote green without worrying about hurting, you know, helping the Republicans.
Well, I'm intrigued by instant runoff voting. I have to tell you that there was an unintended consequence in San Francisco where a gentleman named Ed Ju, who's been suspended from the Board of Supervisors because his residence was fudged. He wasn't living in the district where he ran, but it's been compounded by some bribery charges, and he was the third choice in the first round of that voting. So I'm generally interested in it as a way of breaking the dominance of the two-party system, but we have to be careful because in very low turnout elections, some wobbly things can happen.
Well, I think you get more of a turnout
that's true,
with instant runoff.
In plurality elections as well, which is why it's so important to get out and vote. Even with all the problems that Peter B. and I have been talking about, it's really important to get out and vote. Remember that I support instant runoff voting because it guarantees a majority winner. It does it in one election, therefore saving taxpayer money from having to come back to a second election, and it fully empowers you, the voter, to fully express your opinion as amongst the candidates. Rather than just choosing one, you're actually able to say, well, my first choice, my second choice, my third choice.
Mm-hmm.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3, and I think that what we're seeing is more and more communities adopt it, that it's actually something that voters like, and it's saving taxpayer money.
At the microphone here, is this Sean? Sean, welcome. Thanks for covering us here. Sean is from the Cable Access Channel, and we are live on Channel 12 in Humboldt County today. Hi, Sean.
Hi. Thank you very much for coming here to Eureka. We appreciate you, what you're doing to help empower local voices. I think what community access media are about is giving local voices a chance to be heard through the media. We see so little of that. So just like in some of your other markets in Access Sacramento,
mm-hmm.
Access Monterey, Portland Community Media, up here in Humboldt County, we have Access Humboldt, which is providing local channels on the cable system. We have a network that connects high-speed fiber optic network that will connect and allow transmission from all around our county to give people a chance. And we, for community broadband, really what we're talking about is taking back the media and giving local voices a chance to be heard.
Great.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for being here, Sean. I really appreciate it.
All right, Sean. Good to see you.
David
Thanks
Cobb.
For what you're doing.
David Cobb, thank you for taking time to be here today. It's a pleasure to meet you in person, and you keep fighting.
I sure will. And you still got time. Come on out to Eureka Theater, F Street. If you're in Eureka, come and see this guy. He is awesome. Peter B., thanks so much.
Thank you, David Cobb. Thanks for the plug. We'll continue after the top of the hour. Brad Friedman joins us from Brad Blog. Dave Berman, local activist right here in Eureka.
Hemp, the superfood for you and your family. Hemp has nutritional values that far exceed any known plant. Hemp, used for food, clothing, and shelter since time began. Hemp, this God-given food source is controlled by your government, making it not legal to grow for American people and farmers, but legal to import. Our founding fathers grew hemp because they knew of the benefits it offered. The protein powder, seeds, and oil are available through hempusa.org. Recommended daily intake of this food source will allow the body to heal itself from many ailments. Loaded with potassium, magnesium, calcium, essential fatty acids, amino acids, and nutrients not available in other plants. Hemp can be stored with a long shelf life as a life-sustaining food source for you and your family. Could this be the government's best-kept secret? Call today at 908-691-2608 and see what the powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Learn. Help. Shop at hempusa.org. We do not charge for shipping. That's 908-691-2608 or go to hempusa.org.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The siege of Hillary Clinton's campaign office in Rochester, New Hampshire, ended peacefully late today. A man with what appeared to be explosives strapped to his chest released his hostages and then surrendered. Police Chief David Dubois identifies the suspect as 47-year-old Leland Eisenberg.
We are looking at charges that range from kidnapping to reckless conduct at the state level.
It's not clear whether any federal charges might apply. Karen Anderson of CBS television affiliate WBZ is on the story.
We are told that this man had some sort of demand for Senator Clinton. We are told that he was troubled. No reason yet as to exactly why he went to her office.
The senator was at her home in Washington after canceling an event this afternoon.
We had nothing on our minds except the safety of these young people who work for me. And everybody pitched in.
Clinton says she's relieved it ended peacefully. The news from Iraq is encouraging. Since the troop surge reached full strength in May, CBS News correspondent David Martin says monthly U.S. combat deaths have declined from 120 to 28.
That started in Al Anbar province out to the west, where the Marines were fighting what seemed like a losing battle. But now that the Sunnis have come over to the American side, the turnaround in Al Anbar province couldn't be more dramatic. In November, the Marines did not lose a single man.
The Army's 10th Mountain Division lost 93 vehicles to roadside bombs in its first 6 months in Iraq. In the last 6 months, just one was destroyed. Evel Knievel, the motorcycle daredevil who jumped or tried to jump over big obstacles and wide chasms, died today in Clearwater, Florida. He was 69. Knievel is remembered fondly in his hometown, Butte, Montana.
After he hit his fame and peak there, when he'd come into town, he would go to a couple of bars that we would frequent, and your money was never any good. He was always, you know, picking up the tab for everybody.
Carrie Dunphy knew him in high school. Over the course of his career, Evel Knievel made millions and suffered nearly 40 broken bones. Just before Thanksgiving, three young men linked to the disappearance of Natalie Holloway were rearrested by authorities in Aruba. But two of them, brothers Satish and Deepak Kalpo, will be released tomorrow. CBS's Claire Moncrief is there.
They still face possible formal charges. They have not been charged as of yet. They are only considered suspects in this case. They have until the prosecutor, Hans Moats, has until December 31st to bring charges against the boys, which then the judge will decide if it can go to trial.
Still in custody is Joran Vandersloot, the son of a Dutch government official. Another Fed policymaker suggests an interest rate cut is likely next month. William Poole, president of the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis, made a speech today saying it makes no sense to let the economy suffer for the purpose of teaching stock market speculators a lesson. The price of oil declined to below $89 a barrel today, and the Dow rose 60 points. This is CBS News.
Reason number 9 to switch to GEICO. There's nothing sweeter than saving money on car insurance. It's one of those rare opportunities in life where you can thumb your nose at the system and say, "Okay, system, listen up. I just got a better deal with GEICO. Great savings, personal service 24/7, and the latest in online technology." Of course, the system may sulk for a day or two, but you're going to feel a lot better.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
A Hallmark Channel original movie.
We are launching the first All I Want for Christmas contest.
My name is Jesse Armstrong. What I want for Christmas is a husband for my mom.
His heart was in the right place.
I think we got a winner.
Now, his mom will have a holiday she'll never forget.
Jesse!
And the search for the perfect gift is on.
Hi. Nice to meet you.
Yo, what's up?
Hello, baby.
Gail O'Grady and Jimmy Jack's Pinchak. All I Want for Christmas. Premieres tomorrow night at 9, 8 central. Only on Hallmark Channel.
The question of civilian casualties in Iraq provoked a high-charged exchange today between White House spokeswoman Dana Perino and veteran reporter Helen Thomas. From her front-row seat, Thomas asked if President Bush will pursue his goals in Iraq no matter how many more people we kill.
Helen, I find it really unfortunate that you use your front-row position bestowed upon you by your colleagues to make such statements. It is an honor and a privilege to be in the briefing room and to suggest that we at the United States are killing innocent people is just absurd and very offensive.
When Thomas persisted, Perino's voice quavered with emotion, and she finally cut off the exchange by saying, "I'm going to move on." Italian police believe they've seriously damaged the Sicilian mafia with the recent arrests of several key figures. The latest is suspected mobster Michele Catalano, who's charged with drug trafficking and extortion. Officers burst in on him as he watched a TV show about the arrest of a mob boss. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Happy Honda Days!
Can I help you guys?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're having a tough time deciding between these Honda trucks.
Okay.
What do you recommend that has lots of room and can handle the North Pole?
Well, the Pilot is available with four-wheel drive and has seating for 8.
Oh, that sounds perfect.
Make this a season to remember. Think Honda for the holidays.
All right, then. We'll take the Pilot.
Wonderful. Will you gentlemen be joint owners?
Oh, no. It's a gift for the big guy.
Yeah, we make wonderful toys, but our cars stink.
I see.
Happy Honda Days from your Honda dealer.
Hey, it's Ty Pennington. This holiday, I'm all about granting wishes. Now, a spare tire is something most people aren't wishing for this time of year. But how about a brand new set of tires from Sears Auto Centers? This week, it's the biggest tire sale of the year, with unbeatable prices on brands like Michelin, Goodyear, and BF Goodrich. In fact, Sears Auto Centers has all kinds of goodies for anyone who has a car, which makes it the perfect vehicle for granting wishes. So get your holiday rolling with a huge tire sale at Sears. And don't just give a gift, grant a wish.
Exclusions and restrictions apply. See store for details. Offer ends 12/107.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
Correct our pronouncer. We are live from the Eureka Theater in beautiful downtown Eureka, California. It's great to be here in Humboldt County today, and I'm delighted that everybody turned out. If you're listening on KGOE, it's not too late to come to the Eureka Theater. We're live here for another hour on the radio, and then we're going to do a little schmoozing, and about 6:30 tonight, Roy Zimmerman will take the stage here to entertain us. You've heard some of his songs along the way, and he'll give us another sample a little bit further into this hour. In a moment, Brad Friedman will be joining us because he always does on Friday, and I'm very grateful to him for that. But first, Seth is here, and he asked me for a moment, and we take requests on this show. Seth, step up to the microphone. What did you want to tell us?
Well, Peter, thanks first for coming here. And I'd just like to acknowledge that on this day in 1999, up in Seattle, 65,000 people or so came and over the course of 3 days, using many tactics, nonviolent direct action, just straight up marches and other forms of participatory democracy, helped shut down the World Trade Organization, which, you know, it is this horrendous non-governmental organization which you know, sets up so-called trade regulations, which is really just about...
Making the world safe for corporatocracy.
Exactly, making the world safe for corporatocracy. So there was a large presence of Humboldt County residents that came, and, you know, many people probably remember the scenes of the Seattle police basically rioting on the peaceful but militant demonstrators. And myself and I think 500 or 600 people were arrested, and there was a large and active jail solidarity that went on both in the men's and the women's units. Mm-hmm. And we controlled the jail, and we shut that city down, and we shut down the WTO, and it's been on the run ever since.
Yeah.
And it's really through nonviolent direct action that, that things have gotten accomplished both recently and, you know, throughout the history of both labor and environment and any kind of social justice movement. So I just wanted to acknowledge that. And thank everyone for showing up. And really, we need more direct action. We need more nonviolent direct action to stop the fascism that's crept. I think creeping is a little bit too in the past.
You're right.
So,
Seth, thank you very much. I was there with you in Seattle, and it's nice to meet you here today.
Have a good day.
All righty. Brad Friedman joins us now. Bradness, how are you doing today?
Oh, Peter B., how are you, sir?
Great to have you with us, and say hello to our live audience in Eureka.
Hello, Eureka.
Brad Friedman is the citizen journalist and a publisher of bradblog.com. Is there anyone here who has internet access who has never been to bradblog.com? You're going to have to leave. there were only two or three hands that went up, Brad. I think
get them out of the room, please, Peter.
Well, maybe we should let them stay for a few minutes, because once they know what you do, they might decide that it's worth a trip there to bradblog.com.
Very smartly done.
Yeah. And our friend Dave Berman is back with us today, Brad. Dave Berman from the activist group here in Humboldt County called the Voter Confidence Committee. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Peter. Thanks for having us.
Oh, you got to lean into that.
All right, yeah. All right. Thank you for having us here.
Well, it's great to see you, and thanks for the work that you do.
Thank you.
And, Brad, I want to lead off because Dave has been working hard. And also, let me also just welcome Aryeh Kalaki, who is also part of the Voter Confidence Committee. Aryeh, welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Good to have you. Now, Brad, I sent you an email with some of the information that Dave had shared with me. But one of the things that the Voter Confidence Committee is working on is demonstrating that hand-counting paper ballots is not only the most honest and transparent way to conduct elections, but, Dave, you've been working on costing it out and also working with community members to get them involved in the hand-counting process. Tell us a little bit about what you've been working on.
Okay, well, if you visit voterconfidencecommittee.org, you can sign up to be a part of this project. We've also got a sign-up sheet out in the lobby, and George, one of our group members, is going around with a clipboard right here in the auditorium. What we're doing is asking people in the community to join this roster of people that we can then present to the county to demonstrate that there are enough people who support this idea and are willing to do the work of hand-counting paper ballots on election night.
And what are the elements, what are the moving parts here that you're examining?
Well, for one thing, it's to make sure that we actually do have enough people to do this. But if you go to voterconfidencecommittee.org, there's a spreadsheet tool that's linked near the top. And what this is a way to estimate or forecast how many people it will take and how much time and what it would cost to pay people to count. If we can plug in, for example, how many polling places there are going to be, what's the average number of votes that would be cast per polling place, how many contests there are on the ballot. There's really only a few variables, and this spreadsheet tool allows us and allows people in any community in the country to, you know, plug in their numbers and start working up forecasts for their community.
And so when we get to the bottom line here, your estimate is, after you calculate all the factors, that only about $48,000 is required?
Well,
is
no. Right? When you open up the spreadsheet tool, there are numbers that are in there as default, but they don't really mean anything. You've got to go through it, and if you go to the top part of it, you know, we could start talking about what's going to happen in February with the primary. There's only going to be like 8 or 9 contests on the ballot, so if you change that from where it says 35 to 8,
okay,
and then other numbers are going to automatically change because
of the magic of Excel.
Yeah, and it's going to take us less time to count ballots with 8 contests than it would with ballots having 35 contests.
So I'm slow on Excel. I got to get up here to the menu bar to make that change that you suggested. Here we go. Go ahead, Brad. I hear you there.
Yeah, no, I was going to ask Dave, and I haven't gotten to use the tool yet, but maybe you can give me an impression. Do you find, is there a notable difference when you're dealing with a smaller community like Humboldt versus a larger community like Los Angeles, or is it exponentially the same, per precinct, whether it's a big county or a small county?
So would this be scalable? If we took this to Los Angeles, would it work on a precinct-level basis, and can we extrapolate from there?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it does, but one limitation, I don't want to exaggerate what this can do. This is really only looking at what it would cost for the labor to do the hand counting. This is not an entire budget for an elections department. Obviously, L.A. or New York is going to dwarf Humboldt County in terms of the number of voters, the number of ballots cast, the number of people that would be needed to do the counting overall.
Okay. And has the election board in Humboldt signed up yet?
Has the election board approved this, or are they working with you, Dave? Dave's going to take it.
No, this is not something that's been approved. It's been certainly shown to all of the county supervisors in Humboldt County. They have, across the board, encouraged us to continue down the path that we're on. We've also shown this to our registrar of voters, Carolyn Cernich, who deserves credit for, opening herself up to input from the community. We have an election advisory committee that meets with her monthly, and not every community has the luxury of that kind of access to their registrar, and we don't take that for granted. We wish we could get some more cooperation from her in plugging in her numbers, her forecasts. We've been trying to bring this forecast tool into conformity with what she would estimate, and unfortunately we haven't gotten the cooperation that we'd like there.
Arye, what would you like to add here?
I think what's important here is people here know we have a great jazz festival that's been going on for many years. Right now, there are about 500 volunteers that run that with one paid staff.
Mm-hmm.
And if a jazz festival can be run with one paid staff, we think that's a good model for the county.
That's very interesting. What do you think of that, Brad?
Well, I don't know what to think of that. But I'm wondering, and I caught a bit of heat for this, for suggesting this idea down in Monterey County. But David and you guys, have you talked with Carolyn Cernich about doing a number of precincts, doing hand counting in a number of precincts in February and June of next year, sort of in a parallel system with whatever current system they're using, so that we can begin to gather data on hand counting in California and find out if it is, in fact, as quick and as accurate, and, of course, as accurate shouldn't be difficult, but as quick and as accurate and so forth as the automated systems, even just in a couple of precincts, even if it wasn't the official count.
Can you summarize what he said? I couldn't hear him.
Okay. We're in a big auditorium here, Brad, and you're coming out on the PA system. It was hard for Dave to understand, so I'm going to translate. What did you ask, Brad?
I don't know. What I asked was, has he worked with the registrar to begin a hand counting program, even if it's not the official count, but so in a few precincts so we can compare side by side?
So demonstration program, Dave?
Well, I think that's potentially sound strategy. I think any group in any community that's trying to organize for election reform is going to have to kind of evaluate their landscape and figure out what's best for them. I'm not sure that we're in such a position that it's got to be about a pilot program. I mean, perhaps somewhere else that would be an excellent thing to do, but I think that we're actually better situated than that, frankly.
So you'd like to jump directly into action, are you?
Yeah, what we want to do here is get about 800 people to agree that they will count the ballots by hand to replace the machines.
Mm-hmm.
Now, those people, by law, have to be paid. But they can also return that pay if they don't want to take it.
Yeah.
So we believe that we have the base here in this area to hand count all the ballots and to save money for the county at the same time.
And you're trying to bypass, you use the gems, or is it gemstone tabulators, the optical scanners?
We have the optical scanners at the precinct level, and then we have the GEM central tabulator.
And you're suspicious of both of those, right, Dave?
I wouldn't say that I'm suspicious. I would say there's an enormous body of evidence that says nobody should be using this stuff.
Come on.
One thing that I want to pick up on that Aria said, you know, it's about 800 people at this point. That's, you know, a rough estimate of how many we would need. It would be more helpful for us to pin that down if, again, we could get these numbers from our registrar. But with that estimate of 800, and we've got about 80,000 registered voters in this county, so what does that mean? 1% participation. That's how many members in the community we would need to step up and do this. 1%.
Yeah. My question, I know you got to go to a break, but let me ask real quickly, maybe we can answer it after the break, but where is Carolyn Cernich on this? If you can come up with the people, has she agreed to do it? And otherwise, why isn't Carolyn Cernich there today?
Or all right, we will answer that right after the break. Brad Freeman is with us from bradblog.com, Dave Berman and Arye Kalaki from the Voter Confidence Committee here in Humboldt. And if you'd like to join us, call toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. I see we've got a couple of callers from Ohio who want to talk about our discussion last hour with David Cobb. Stay with us. We'll get to you. So just hang on hold there, and we'll get to you as quickly as we can. We're live from the Eureka Theater in Eureka, California, and you're listening to The Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. Visit our website at KRXA540.com.
It's all the excitement of a presidential primary right here on the Central Coast. Come to the first presidential primary in the nation in Salinas Sunday, December 9th. It's a Democratic presidential straw poll with representatives of the Democratic campaigns and hundreds of their supporters packing the floor. The first presidential primary in the nation, Sunday, December 9th from noon to 5 at Sherwood Hall in Salinas. Information at montereycountydemocrats.org or 262-0367. That's montereycountydemocrats.org or 262-0367.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Hi, I'm J.R. Medina, owner of PG Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue in Pacific Grove. My family and I are proud to serve the finest selection of beer, wine, liquor, and non-alcoholic beverages in the Monterey area. Our store is evolving beyond adult and soft drinks. We serve freshly brewed Acme coffee, the finest breakfast burritos, and now Nathan's hot dogs. We're open daily. Come by and check out the big, big selection and low, low prices at PG Liquors. That's PG Liquors at 229 Grand in Pacific Grove.
All right, folks, let's give you the very latest. Folks,
make your way home tonight, and happy Friday, everybody. Let's tell you that we do have, we did have a problem earlier. Del Monte 4, 17-mile drive at Sunridge. Two vehicles blocking the lanes. It appears everything's off to the shoulder. In fact, that's what we're going to call in the clearing stages, because that, in fact, is the case. Carmel Valley Village, we had Laurel's Grade at Carmel Valley. It was some power lines that knocked into a tree, and we had some trees burning. The fire department has handled that situation, so that's in the clearing stages. Looking at southbound 1 between Monterey and Carmel, you may encounter some slow traffic. And eastbound 129 between Watsonville and Aromas, slow traffic being reported there. This report brought to you by Versus College Football, Saturday, Cal versus Stanford. Saturday, 4 p.m., only on Versus.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show live from the Eureka Theater in downtown Eureka. Once again, I want to thank Tom Seaborn from KGOE for making all this happen today and everybody at KGOE Radio. I also want to thank my excellent producer, Katrina Rill in San Francisco, and Brian Urban, who is at the controls today in Master Control. Thank you, Brian. We continue now with Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. Dave Berman is here from the Voter Confidence Committee in Humboldt County, along with his colleague, Arye Kalaki. And just before the break, Brad was asking if your Registrar of Voters, Carolyn Cernich, has bought into this. What is her position on your plan to bring in a whole volunteer cadre to count hand count paper ballots? Are you?
So far, I think Carolyn is open to the discussion, but this is a fairly big change to go back to the way things were done before the electronic voting machines. And she's not bought into it yet.
Yeah.
She has adapted to the state regulations of no more modems being used to transfer the results of the election to the central headquarters. She has not bought into the conversation about stopping sleepovers, which would allow people to take home voting machines for several days, precinct workers, before the election.
Mm-hmm.
Machines that can be hacked either remotely or directly.
Right.
I think it's going to take her awareness that this is a popular public issue. Hopefully we don't have to go to the ballot, which mm-hmm. we might want to do down the line.
Right.
We're hoping that when she sees the 800 to 1,000 signatures of local voters who want to count the ballots, that she'll want to meet with us mm-hmm. and talk about that option.
Yeah.
We're looking forward to that down the line.
Mm-hmm.
And just to be clear, we don't have 800 to 1,000 people yet. We've got, I think, above 200 now, though. And that's the first time I've given a public estimate of how many people have signed up. Many today out in the lobby. And again, I think George is supposed to be in the auditorium somewhere passing around the clipboard. And you can visit our website, too, voterconfidencecommittee.org, to sign yourself up.
All right. Brad,
Don't let them out of that auditorium until you sign them up, Dave. And just to clarify what I said before the break, if Carolyn Cernich does not wish to go ahead with this scheme in full, and I hope that she does, I hope you'll ponder I don't want to call it Plan B, but I will, Plan B, where you say, well, look, can we try it in 10 precincts? And the reason I'm suggesting this is to begin to get data to show that this can work, if in fact it can, and also you can then compare the numbers as they were counted. If there's a difference between the hand counted numbers and the op scan numbers, you can go in there. Any voter in California can ask for a recount of any particular precinct, and you can find out in fact who was more correct, the hand counters or the op scanners. I won't tell you who I've got my money on, but you can guess.
Well, Brad, we have had some measures of success here in our community for the organizing work that we're doing. In the November 2006 election, we successfully persuaded both Carolyn and the supervisors to do a 10% manual audit, which is, of course, to double-check the machines, and that's far beyond the state minimum requirement of 1%. So, we have some traction going on here, and I think really to get to the next level, what it's going to take is demonstrative community support for the idea.
Indeed. And when is Carolyn? She's leaving, isn't she?
Is Carolyn Cernich leaving?
No, I don't believe she is. She's been in her office, I think, through four terms, and I'm not sure that she's ever had an opponent. Maybe once. I mean, she's run unopposed several times, and the position just under her, the election manager position, was vacated a few months ago, and they're, I think, fairly close to hiring someone, but I don't know who that is yet.
Are you a quick comment?
Bruce Funk?
No. Go ahead,
no, he has applied for the position.
Oh, Bruce Funk has applied up here. Do you know that?
Yeah, actually, when the position became available, I immediately sent an email to Bruce Funk and to Ian Sancho, who I know was mentioned earlier, and I basically just said, you know, you guys have done amazing things, and you're admired by the election integrity community, and I just wanted to make sure that you would at least think for a second.
We got
to
take a break. That's Dave Berman, along with R.E.A. Brad Friedman is with us. We'll be back in a moment on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Jim's Restaurant and Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Jim's Restaurant is celebrating its 8th anniversary at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Join the party. Enjoy Jim's lunch specials for just $5.75 and dinner specials for only $6.50 per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering, too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos on the Christmas season.
We have the tree, we have refreshments. It's turned out to be a really big season for us.
Someone was in the other day who was telling their companion who had been there for the first time that, oh, and they also do Christmas, and you should see it with all the lights. It's just beautiful. So.
It's one of the prettiest times of the year.
Yeah. Christmas is fun. I mean, we start to kick off with the, for the season, the first weekend in November with an open house, and we have homemade refreshments. In December, we have a live green wreath workshop where people can come and make their own green wreaths.
Call us at 685-1626, and we keep lists of anyone who's interested in the classes and schedule them accordingly. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn. If you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find. The Potting Shed.
Gifts for gardeners and everyone. We're hard to find, but it's worth it.
Don't your children deserve the very best for the holidays? Locally owned and operated, Thinker Toys has been the first holiday shopping stop for generations of parents in Carmel and Monterey, where owner Mark Phillips and his staff take great pride in personally serving every customer. Thinker Toys is dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly. While Thinker Toys specializes in educational toys for newborns through six-year-olds, there's no better place than Thinker Toys to buy great toys for thinking kids of all ages. Make your child's Christmas, Hanukkah, Christmaka, Kwanzaa, or the holiday of your choice extra special with high-quality educational toys and games from Thinker Toys. Open every day at 10 a.m. in Carmel at 7th and San Carlos and in Monterey at the Del Monte Center. Drop by Thinker Toys today and tell Mark that Peter B. sent you. Happy holidays from Thinker Toys.
I love coffee, I love tea. That's why Coffeetopia's the place for me. Coffee and tea, the honey and me. At Coffee, Coffee, Coffeetopia.
Coffeetopia at 1723 Mission Street and 3701 Portola Drive in Santa Cruz offers the finest in handcrafted espresso drinks, whether it's a traditional Italian-style cappuccino or a sweet caramel macchiato. We offer a range of full-leaf teas, a choice of chais, including our new Zawadi African chai, and organic coffees. Coffeetopia also carries local baked goods fresh daily, including French-style pastries. Or try a toasted bagel with one of our exclusive non-dairy bagel spreads, either garlic dill or smoked tofu. Coffeetopia, Santa Cruz's oldest internet cafe, offers both free wireless and computer terminals for those who need them. Coffeetopia. Remember, we're here to help.
Coffee, coffee, coffee-topia.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We are all the way live, transmito en vivo from the Eureka Theater in beautiful Eureka, California. The crowd is building. Roy Zimmerman will take the stage about an hour from now. And it's still not too late for you folks listening on 1480 KGOE to drive over here and join us for the live music. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I'd love to meet you personally. So that's the Eureka Theater on F Street in downtown Eureka. We continue our discussion of election integrity. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com with us as usual. Dave Berman and Aryeh Kalaki from the Voter Confidence Committee here in Humboldt with us as well. And Aryeh, the break came at us, and I had to take it, but I wanted to come back to you talking about the issue of hand counting paper ballots. What did you want to add to this?
Well, a couple of things. It seems that in a time when the federal government is not responding to our wishes or needs, and when more rights are being taken away than are being given to us, that we have to find a way to act locally to engage our energies, and that's what we're trying to do. And we need your help. We'd like you to invite us to your organization, to your church. We'd like you to look at our report at info@voterconfidencecommittee.com, and we'd like your signatures. We'd like to build a popular movement around this as a beginning way to change the nature of how our elections work. We want to see the money out of the elections. We'd like to see neighborhood meetings with good, intelligent conversation rather than mailers, which are hit pieces.
Yeah.
And this is the start of that. So please contact us. We're ready to work with you.
Great. And Dave, you wanted to put out an APB for a webmaster.
Yeah, I mean, if you visit our website, you can see the report that we spent 8 months putting together, looking at our local election conditions. You can see many different fact sheets and diagrams and all sorts of things that we've put together to help people really get their head around this issue. We want people to volunteer on this hand count sign up, but we also really, really need a webmaster. So you can email us info@voterconfidencecommittee.org if you can help us out. And our website, again, is voterconfidencecommittee.org.
All right, great. And now, gentlemen, stay with us. Go ahead, Brad.
No, I was going to underscore very quickly for the people within earshot of this radio program. For years, we sort of sat back, and every 4 years, we'd wait for the magical election fairy to come down and tell us who won the election. And I think we have learned in these over these past couple of election cycles that if you really want a government of the people, by the people, and for the people, then you, the people, need to participate in your elections. And to that end, I thank David and Aryeh for the great work that they're doing getting involved. And I hope people listening to this program will consider that very seriously and get involved themselves so that we have an election that is actually run by the folks who own it, which is the people, not the corporations.
All right, very well put. Now, Brad, before you joined us today, the hour preceding, David Cobb was with us, the Green Party's presidential candidate from 2004. We talked a lot about the shenanigans in Ohio in 2004, a little bit about Florida in 2000. And Victoria Parks, who we all know, called in last hour, and her colleague Patty Schaefer is on the line right now from Columbus. Patty, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. You were holding for more than half an hour, and I appreciate that. I hope you're still patient. Tell us what you wanted to comment on today.
I thought I'd let you know what we worked on today. So Victoria Parks, myself, and Marge Creech hit the streets in Columbus and delivered some packages to the Secretary of State, the governor of Ohio, the Ohio Attorney General, to the Ohio Controlling Board, which is part of the Ohio State Senate. And in these packages, we had a copy of Paul Leto's lawsuit for product liability for Washington State, Patricia Axelrod's product liability lawsuit for the state of Nevada, and information from a local computer engineer, and a cover letter explaining why they were getting it all. And the reason we passed that out, Peter, was today was the last day of Project Everest, the testing of the Ohio voting machines.
I see.
And with the lawsuits, this way they cannot claim plausible deniability, the idea that they don't know that they could ask for our money back on these machines. Mm-hmm. So if it was our toasters and they didn't work, you'd want your money back. And so the same idea goes with the voting machines. If they don't work, ask for our money back, because we're already being given this justification as one of the possible reasons we'll have to make do with these machines because we bought them.
And, Brad, we're seeing more and more jurisdictions. San Francisco has sued. The voting registrars are now taking legal action against the producers of the machines and basically saying, you defrauded us. Is that the major claim being made?
Yeah, essentially. ES&S was sued by San Francisco and by the state of California after Deborah Bowen referred the suit to the Attorney General. Essentially, it's a fraud, breach of contract, deceptive business practices. This company, ES&S, has been defrauding people all over the country and strong-arming them. They're not alone. We need to see more and more lawsuits and more states and counties stepping up and bringing this accountability, the kind of thing that Patty is talking about here. I'm wondering, Patty, have you heard from Secretary of State Jennifer Brunner out there what she plans to do if this testing comes back, this so-called Everest testing comes back and surprises us all by announcing that these machines are crap. Does she have a plan for how to run elections 3 months from now?
No indication yet of what the plan is. Today was the last day of testing. And here's an important part of it for transparency, Brad. We have asked over and over for the last 6 weeks to be able to have observers in for Project Everest. Chris Nance, the Assistant Secretary of State, I was told, was who I would have to get permission from. Chris Nance refuses to answer, both verbally and in writing. And today, while we were in his office, I asked to get to speak with him, was told he was too busy, but he was going to send me a letter about it, on the last day of testing. And so my feeling is chances are really good they're going to tell us we're going to have to use them. And I hope that I'm wrong on that. Whatever we do with their results, we have a huge problem now, Brad, though. Our investigation here has shown that we have 12 Board of Election officials. So these are directors and deputy directors that have been appointed to be part of Project Everest. And I asked to have their names, and the documentation that came out of the Secretary of State's office is a letter that the Secretary of State sent to the controlling board who approved her money, and in it she names a man named Aaron Ackerman, who happens to be a lobbyist for the Ohio Association of Election Officials, for the company ES&S. His partners in his company have been lobbyists for Diebold and ES&S, and that's who chose the election officials. And right off the bat, looking at my records, I've got problems with 10 of them, like lots of felonies or alleged felonies, people in there. And so no matter what happens with these voting machines, when we have people testing them that are some of the same people that destroyed the 2004 election records, in the judge's order, he said it's a fourth-degree felony, how do we trust any part of the result of her test? So she just threw away $1.8 million, and I hope she says to get rid of the machines. But there is shenanigan upon shenanigan happening here, and the arrogance of the people in our office is just overwhelming, talking to them today on it. And all their answer to every question is, we can only look forward to 2008, only look forward to 2008. They won't look at anything.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Patty, thanks a lot for checking in from Ohio today. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome, and thanks for all you guys do. Have a great weekend.
Stay active. We need it. Bill in Cleveland joins us as well. Welcome to the program, Bill. Nice to hear from you.
Hello, Peter B. Hello, Brad. Hello, Eureka.
Eureka responds. What's on your mind, Bill?
Well, I'm calling here from the bowels of Cuyahoga County.
You mean the scene of the crime?
The scene of the crime. You know, it's been three long years since people waited 6 hours to vote in Cuyahoga County. And we just had an election a few weeks ago, and they are still having problems with the Diebold voting machines. Now we're seeing that it looks like Cuyahoga County wants their money back. This was reported on WKYC. Board Director Jane Platten said if there is a recount in any countywide election, it'll be more than days, maybe weeks. And a Solon school board candidate and former mayor Robert Paulson said, this has been water torture. Now I describe it as like doing a biopsy. I think most people admit they bought the wrong system. If you don't want to be a laughingstock because your equipment doesn't work. Now, this is great. On WCPN 90.3, our public radio station here, had an article this morning. Cuyahoga County Commissioner Tim Hagen is also echoing that thing, and here's what he had to say.
Hagen. We're saying the state made a decision and left us holding the bag here, and now we know that this system is flawed, and if we're going to change the system, the state, through the legislature, ought to appropriate money to pay for that change.
The commission.
Well, anyhow, you know, three long years, and they still don't have it right. You see, Jennifer Bruner cleaned house in Cuyahoga County's Board of Elections, and we still have shenanigans and people that don't know what's going on, and they're still trying to, you know, sort out these evil Diebold machines, which has been proven over and over and over and over, that they just don't work. And we really need hand-counted paper ballots. And what Patty said is, like, what are we going to do if these machines don't pass muster? We only have 3 months until our primary on March 4th.
All right, Bill, thank you for your question and comment. I'm going to drop your call because we're having a little bit of feedback on your line. But keep listening, and Brad will respond here. Brad, what's your reaction to Bill?
He says, what will we do? And I would say what you will do, Bill, and what you guys out there in Ohio need to start doing is pressuring the Secretary of State to allow every single voter who wants to vote on paper to allow them to vote on paper. We get to do that in California, and there's no reason that folks in Ohio can't do the same. And I would go as far as to say not only should they be allowed to vote on paper, they should be asked before they go to vote whether they want to vote on paper or plastic, if you will. Everybody in Ohio already has paper ballot systems. And Secretary of State out there can, as I understand it from my sources in Ohio, she can mandate that every voter be given that right to vote by paper. And I'm sorry Bill hung up because I wanted to ask him if everybody has finished voting from 2004 yet.
Gotcha. And this is the perfect return to Dave Berman and Aryeh Kalaki. Because, Bill, in Cleveland, if you go to the website voterconfidencecommittee.org, there's an interesting chart there that compares the process of hackable technology being used to count votes and the straightforward efforts of votes that are done in secret but counted in public. Dave, talk a little bit about this chart and how you use it to explain to people the benefits of the good old way of counting votes.
Yeah, this image, if you're on the Voter Confidence Committee website, it's down at the bottom. You can just see it on the page, or you can actually download an image if you want to print it and use it as a flyer in your community. This picture, this image, was in my head for about 3 years, and I couldn't get anybody to help me to create it until we were, you know, neck deep in this 8-month long study that turned into our report. And then it kind of clicked. It could be a diagram in our report. And then we got some help from John Carter, who's an HSU student and the art director at the Lumberjack newspaper. And I mean, you summed it up. I mean, it's just a sequence of what happens from start to finish when votes are done through optical scanners in the GEM Central tabulator, a Diebold system like we have here. And then beneath that, it's a sequence of what you would get counting paper ballots by hand. And the contrast, of course, is that there's many, many places in the electronic version where we say there's no basis for confidence. You lose any ability to prove what the results are. And that's, to me, ultimately the problem with having electronic voting. And you look at the hand counting method, and it's transparent, it's secure, it's verifiably accurate. To me, that makes an election.
Yeah. Well, Dave Berman, I want to thank you for your work. Thanks for joining us here today. Arye Kalaki, nice to meet you, and I appreciate what you're doing as well. Brad, we're going to wrap things up on this segment now because, look, Carolyn Cernich is on the line. We're going to have to shift things here. I was going to give some people in the audience a chance to speak, but the registrar is on the line, so we'll take our break and return here in just a moment. I'm Peter B. Collins, live from Eureka, here on the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540. Visit our website at krxa540.com. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
How many times have you bumped up against the belief that in fact harms you, hurts you, and really acts like a disease? How often is belief a barrier to well-being and happiness? Healing Beyond Limits Radio, heard Sundays from 9 to 10 a.m., cuts through the busyness of life and gets to the heart of what you can do to throw away limitations and live the life you want. Join the unlikely oncologist, Dr. Debbie Lindquist, and world-renowned life coach, journalist, Glenn Brooks, and discover how you can dissolve ideas and actions that hold you back. Heard on the Vibrant Living Radio Network right here on KRXA 540 AM.
Tomorrow Matters, the premier local radio program for matching the global problems of today with the solutions for a better tomorrow. Hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll bring in the guests and you call in with your questions and ideas. And we'll collectively work to set the standards for a more sustainable future. And we're doing it 5 times a week. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 AM for Tomorrow Matters. Weekdays at 2, because for all of us, tomorrow really matters.
And let's take a look at traffic here in the beautiful Monterey, Carmel, and Salinas area. We've got a problem. Let's see. CHP was telling us about an earlier situation. Let's see if anything's improved since we last spoke. Yeah, you know what, folks? Traffic looking pretty good. Well, here we go. Finally got a problem here. It is in Castroville, Del Monte Avenue, Blackie Road. Two-vehicle crash on the right shoulder. Minor injuries being reported. And I can tell you, CHP is on scene. Also, fire department being summoned to the area as well. Also, want to take a look at Aptos, Soquel Drive at Mar Vista. We have an injured deer, apparently, in the southbound lanes. Checking Highway 17, northbound and southbound. No problems to report there. Southbound 1 between Monterey and Carmel, some stop-and-go traffic. Eastbound 24 slows out of Gilroy into Hollister. And the support is brought to you by the folks at Versus College Football.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show here from the Eureka Theater in downtown Eureka. We've been talking this hour with Brad Friedman of bradblog.com, also Dave Berman and Arye Kalaki of the Voter Confidence Committee, and the Registrar of Voters, Carolyn Cernich, has just called in. Ms. Cernich, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you.
Thanks for talking with us today. Our time is tight, and I do appreciate you calling in.
I apologize for calling so late.
Well, and I would invite you back on the program at a time when we'll have more time to talk. But
thank
if you could, tell me what your response is to the proposals from the Voter Confidence Committee to recruit volunteers so that we can conduct the elections with human beings hand-counting paper ballots?
I wish I could say I'm more enthusiastic about it, but frankly, having 800 people handle our live ballots is not an appealing idea to me.
Because?
Do you not think that opens a door to fraud, too? 800 people handling live paper ballots? I'm not saying it's the wrong thing to do. I'm saying that I think it's an excellent audit tool mm-hmm. for the way we count ballots now or in the future on some other equipment, perhaps. But
I think that in a group situation, the group would basically police itself. So you're not putting individuals in a room with ballots that they could tamper with. You're putting a group to count them.
Yes, and I don't know that group, and you don't either. And do you see my concern about that?
Let me turn to Brad. Go ahead, Brad.
Yeah, I, Carolyn, and by the way, thank you for working with those guys out there.
Sure.
I appreciate the fact that you do. A lot of election directors don't work with the election integrity folks, so I'm glad that you do. I trust 800 people and even more thousand eyeballs than that, counting everybody second-guessing each other in full public a lot more than I do two or three guys who programmed the Diebold optical scanners that are going to count these ballots in essentially secrecy.
Well, when you consider that, yes, they are volunteers, as you say, but put that in quotes because I have to pay them. And whether or not they refuse that is one thing, but I have to at least have the money there to budget to intend to pay them, and thank you very much if I don't have to pay them. But furthermore...
If they do it for free, will you let them?
No. Not at this point. Not at this point. I'm not convinced that it's that the plan is baked thoroughly enough that the security that I would require... would be there.
Well,
would
Brad,
you be willing
Brad,
to allow
hold on,
them
hold on,
to say, do this in, let's say, 10 different precincts this year as a test run, as well as sending them back
well,
to
at
do
this
the
point,
option?
At this point, I'd have to say no, and I say that because I have agreed just yesterday to be part of a pilot study that is being conducted by Philip Stark of Berkeley. He was a part of the Secretary of State's post-audit review, post-election audit committee, and he has come up with a some basis for determining the sample size necessary and measuring a confidence level that will be applied to. We'll send him the results. And then he'll tell us how many we need to count.
Carolyn Cernich and Brad Friedman, I've got to stop it here. The clock is ruthless.
I'm sorry.
I've run out of time. Can I invite you, Ms. Cernich, to join us on the program as soon as next Friday, and we can talk about this at greater length?
Well, I won't be able to next Friday, but perhaps in the near future, let's say.
Okay. I will be in touch, and we'll find a time that works. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thanks to all of you. And I'm sorry we didn't get to everybody's questions today, but I did want to give the registrar an opportunity to speak with us. Dave Berman, thank you very much for being here, Arye. And I want to turn to Tom Seaborn to thank all the people who made this broadcast possible.
Really quickly, thanks to Dan and Tina Marie at Sanctuary Stage in the Eureka Theater here, Lost Coast Brewery, Mini Hands Gallery in Old Town, Color Impressions in Fortuna, Amco Automotive in Eureka, Paul and David at AT&T for the hookups, Larry Glass in the Works in Arcata in Eureka, Myrtle Avenue Market in Delhi, Jesse Monreed and Sean over at the Humboldt Access 12, Sarah Reed, my right-hand girl, the volunteers, including the veterans and the Voter Confidence Committee with David Berman, the girls down at Scrapper's Edge, Deborah Daniels, our PSA director who helps so much, Dave Berman, David Cobb, Harmony Groves, and anybody I forgot. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tom Seaborn. He's the guy who really made it happen. Thank you, Tom. And here's Roy Zimmerman to play us off the stage here, and he'll be going live at about 6:30. It's not too late for you to come by the Eureka Theater tonight.
You watched the debate, right, Peter B? You
oh,
you
I sure
the
did.
Debate. Yeah, the Republican debate. I think what they need, the Republicans, they need a theme song, a happy-go-lucky pop kind of theme song for their agenda.
All right.
Business is good, and my sex life is good, and my backhand is sure to improve. Things have been good in the whole neighborhood since we forced the homeless shelter to move. Driving around feeling full of goodwill, a song in my heart and a bomb on my grill. I say, punish the people, punish the people, punish the people who sleep in the rain, who stand around and mutter, who clog up your drain and clutter up your gutter, yeah. Susie could not keep the job that we got her, so we cut her ration of gruel.
That's Roy Zimmerman. Visit his website at royzimmerman.com. Visit my website at peterbcollins.com. Thanks to everyone here in Eureka for coming out to the live broadcast today. Stay with us for Roy's concert, and keep listening to KGOE 1480 or other fine stations that carry the Peter B. Collins Show. Thanks again for listening. I'll talk to you soon.
We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, explain the value of wines made from organic grapes.
You know, I think that drinking organic wines is what Tony Robbins described as a class one experience. Wines made with organic grapes feel good. They taste extremely good. Just like an organic tomato or strawberry tastes usually better than a conventional counterpart. They are good. There's plenty of scientific evidence about the health benefits of drinking wine in moderation. Drinking organic wines also is good for other people in that you know you're supporting farmers. And last but not least, it's definitely good then for the higher good.
The Organic Wine Company. Log on to ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE toll-free. That's 1-888-ECO-WINE.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. A break in the fatal shooting of Washington Redskins star Sean Taylor. Miami-Dade Police Director Robert Parker says they've arrested four young men who allegedly didn't know Taylor was home when they tried to burglarize his house.
We know that these individuals on the night of occurrence entered the residence. We know that once that they were in the residence, they encountered Mr. Taylor. And we know that Mr. Taylor was mortally wounded by a single gunshot. We know that these individuals then exited the residence and fled in a waiting vehicle.
Parker says they'll be charged with murder. After six tense hours, the hostage situation at Hillary Clinton's Rochester, New Hampshire campaign office ended late today with the surrender of the man who'd claimed to have a bomb. He'd released his hostages earlier. Reporter Paul Burton of CBS television affiliate WBZ says the man is identified as 47-year-old Leland Eisenberg.
We do know that he has a history of mental problems, including a recent loss of job, and he has been come to the attention of police over the past few months.
Eisenberg wanted to talk to Senator Clinton. State Police Colonel Frederick Booth says they didn't allow that for tactical reasons, but Clinton kept in touch from her Washington area home.
Well, the senator was very supportive of what we were doing, and obviously she wanted to see a most successful outcome to this. I think that what she had expressed to me was simply that she did not want to see anybody hurt.
No one was. U.S. military casualties in Iraq are way down. There were 120 combat deaths in May when the troop surge reached full strength, and just 28 killed this month. But CBS News correspondent David Martin talked to one analyst who's not convinced the tide has turned.
I think we're in another phase. I don't think we're where we can say that we've reached a turning point, that the outcome is now guaranteed.
Paul Hughes of the Institute for Peace worries most about Shiite militias loyal to the radical cleric Muqtada al-Sadr. He has declared a ceasefire, but it is only temporary.
If there is some indicator that we can trust them to not come back out into the streets and fire on American or Iraqi security forces again, then I think we could probably say we've reached a turning point.
David Martin, CBS News, the Pentagon.
Evel Knievel performed all kinds of gravity-defying stunts on his motorcycle.